Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
That was an ad about Twins tickets. This is the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Welcome in on a Friday afternoon, 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North Gyms, respectively, in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. 3 hours for you today, so settle in and perhaps pour yourself a nice mint julep as we get ready for a weekend of horse racing. The Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs leading into tomorrow's Kentucky Derby, which we'll have right here for you on KGYM. I wanted to do something fun for the Derby, and I couldn't come up with anything fun for the Kentucky Derby, so I guess we'll just do the old standby talk about it on the program today. You can do the same with us on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. Love it or leave it on the way here in the 4 o'clock hour. In the 5 o'clock hour tonight, Jack Dom, Mount Mercy's baseball coach, set to join us for his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases. We will have plenty of discussion about the Cubs and the Cardinals, who began a series at Wrigley Field today with the Cubs winning 4-0. Kyle Hendricks, a twirling, masterful game against the Cardinals. Rob Raines. What?
How many pitches did he throw?
I don't see 81.
You don't see that very often anymore. Complete games, much less doing it in 81 pitches.
I believe, is that the Maddox complete game, or do you throw complete game, no runs, under a certain number of pitches? Is a Maddox.
It's close.
There's only one Greg Maddox. 319-366-1600.
It's fewer than 100.
It's fewer than 100, so he threw a Maddox today. Rob Raines, longtime Cardinals beat writer, will be joining us in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a look at what's going on with the Cardinals as they begin that series with the Cubs. As we said, the only game in Major League Baseball early today, a final already from Wrigley Field, 4-0. I showed up. I was all ready for friendly rivalry discussion with Alex today, and I thought he would be rolling in with a Cardinals jersey on, and nope, Alex is ready to go for game four tonight, right?
Game five, the pivotal game five
between the Dallas Stars and the St. Louis Blues. St. Louis sports fans just wanting to know, why can't we have nice things, right?
Just wanting a cup. That's all it is. We've seen
some
championships.
You guys have 11 World Series rings.
11
World
Series
rings. You don't
need
a Stanley Cup.
We've seen a Super Bowl, although the team's not there anymore. It's just the frustration of the cup. I want to see that thing lifted. It's the most difficult to win in all of sports, and that's why it's so coveted.
We'll get to more discussion of Isaiah Moss's leaving of the program as well. I keep going back to this 2015 recruiting class, and we're going to touch on it in the 5 o'clock hour, because there's definitely correlation there between how Iowa sort of was spinning its wheels the last couple seasons and not taking that big leap forward. That 2015 recruiting class was coming in on the heels of a 22-win season and a victory in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And they went 0-6, basically. Now, Isaiah Moss, I don't think necessarily counts as an 0-for because he was a contributor for 3 years. But you bring in 6 guys in a recruiting class and none of them finish their careers.
On a program that is built on having senior and veteran leadership, right? That's sort of that's the thing that you're looking at right now with Isaiah Moss. He was a contributor. He was one of the few guys to be mainstays in the starting lineup from that team. But this program is built on their best teams are the ones that are senior laden.
We can yammer about the Cubs and the Cardinals or the St. Louis Blues and their chance at winning the Stanley Cup, but this is Eastern Iowa and the Hawkeyes dominate. And at the mere mention of Isaiah Moss, boom, phone lines are lit up for the second day in a row. 366-1600. Let's start tonight with Jim in Cedar Rapids, wants to discuss Hawkeye basketball. Jim, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wondered what your guys' take was on, what you think Isaiah Moss left for 1 year left in his playing career? Why do you think, in your opinion, why do you think he left?
My opinion on why I think he left amounts to a hill of beans. Why I think he left doesn't matter. And I say this because I don't know. And I think too often times in this business, and I say this business in general with regards to writers and any type of media types, is too often we fall into this trap of, I'm going to give my opinion on something. And I'm not in Isaiah Moss's head.
Right.
So I don't know why. I know there are a lot of people out there that have prescribed a number of reasons for him leaving. Some of them may be accurate. Most of them probably aren't. This is a kid that started in every game, right, last season? I don't have the numbers in front of me at the moment, but it seems to me that he was in the starting lineup more often than not last year. Played in over 100 games over the course of his career. I don't know whether there was an indication that maybe playing time would be harder to come by next. That's what really is sort of puzzling about
right.
this, because this isn't a guy who's been buried on the bench.
No.
And the story in and of itself, can you imagine a member of the starting lineup not only losing their starting job, but having their minutes just absolutely slashed as a senior? I can't foresee that being the case.
I don't think that would have happened.
It's a mystery here, and until we get some further clarification on this, I'm assuming at some point in time something will come out. The Isaiah Moss camp, once he lands somewhere, and I've seen a lot of Midwestern schools thrown around as possibilities for a landing spot for him, some of them in the Big Ten, which I think would be really intriguing. And no, Nebraska is not one of them. How about that? I don't want to completely... Jim was Jim, right?
Yes.
Jim, I'm not dodging your question. I'm trying to do something that I think a lot of people in this business don't often do, and that's be completely forthright and honest with you and tell you I don't know, and therefore I don't want to give...
Come on, Todd, you got to dangerously speculate.
If you listen to this program...
That's the point, right?
look, I give opinions. I'm not afraid to give opinions. I think if we did 3 hours of just sitting here talking back and forth, no one would listen. So you got to give opinions from time to time. This is something I'm not comfortable giving my opinion on because I'm not inside his head. I don't know. Is there a problem with Iowa basketball right now? I know that question was asked last night, and I don't think so. And, you know, Maishi Daly he's an outlier. And Maishi Daly, who announced earlier that he's transferring to Akron, Maishi Daly was the exact type of player you would expect to transfer. He wants to find a place where he can play a larger role, and so he's going to a smaller school. Also embroiled in a major controversy, the linchpin in a major controversy surrounding the basketball team and the broadcaster this year. Yeah, I want to change the scenery if I'm Maishi Daly. So he gets a pass. Tyler Cook gets a pass because he's flirted with the NBA. It's almost a minor miracle that he came back to school this past season. And this is a kid who thinks he's an NBA player, wants to be an NBA player. He got the feedback last year, came back. This time it's gone for good. The Moss defection, transfer, whatever you want to call it, this is the one that fans can't look at and immediately say, okay, this makes sense.
Right.
And I do think that there's a little bit of head scratching because of that. And we could sit here and mindlessly speculate. What'd you call it? Dangerously.
Dangerously speculate.
Dangerously speculate. That's not good for anybody. So why do I think he left? I don't know. And I doubt we ever fully get an answer. But I bet if you logged on to an internet message board right now, there'd be 40 people out there with 41 different opinions. Someone's going to have two theories as to why he left. It's a head scratcher. And I continue to be baffled by the people who don't think this is a big deal, because depth, veteran leadership. If you go back and look at what really sank Todd Licklider's battleship at Iowa, it was the fact that what he was trying to do here was emulate what he had done at Butler, and what Butler has always done a really good job of over the last decade plus is guys come in, they stay for 4 or 5 years, they instill that sense of program and leadership, and they hand it down to the young players behind right. them. And Iowa never had that under Todd Licklider. Guys were coming and going and not making it all the way through to the end. So there's a little bit to this in this 2015 recruiting class. And we'll touch on this again in the 5 o'clock hour, but it's like Christmas Eve here, and Jim has unwrapped his presents early tonight, and I have a feeling that means other people would like their turn to take one out from under the tree. Did your parents ever do that to you? If the tree had the presents under it on December 24th, okay, you get to open one tonight, but then the rest of them have to wait until tomorrow.
Yeah, that was our tradition.
5 o'clock topic, household. 4 o'clock hour, 319-366-1600. Your thoughts on Isaiah Moss bordering but not stepping over dangerous speculation. 366-1600. The 15 recruiting class, though. I did my sports view on this earlier today. They are archived online at kgymradio.com. Six spots in that recruiting class, and not a single one of those six players makes it to the end of their career. This is something that you would normally see perhaps at the beginning of a beginning of a tenure at a program, but this was right in the middle of Fran McCaffrey's tenure and coming off a 22-win season. Now, Moss, contributor. Ahmad Wagner showed signs of promise every once in a while, but
he was somewhat of a contributor off the bench when
and
he
then
was
extenuating
at Iowa.
Circumstances there because he had a change of heart and wanted to go play football, wanted to
he
play a different sport.
That if he was going to play professionally, it was going to be football, not basketball.
Dale Jones was a junior college transfer who, because of injuries and general ineffectiveness, but mostly injuries,
yes.
I think 11 games over two seasons. He wound up as the second leading scorer at North Dakota his senior season. He wound up playing for former Iowa assistant Brian Jones, who, if you didn't see this earlier this week, Jones left North Dakota where he was the head coach to be the associate head coach at Illinois State. Kind of an interesting move there. So let's see if we can do this off memory because I had these written down earlier today. Brandon Hutton.
Correct.
Brandon Hutton. There were two guys in this recruiting class that wound up at two different schools each. Hutton's one of them. He wound up going to a junior college. I think it was Southeast or Indian Hills. I can't remember. And then at Northwestern State, which Hawkeye fans will remember, is the school that knocked Iowa out of the NCAA tournament back in 2005. I know that's not a fun memory. Andrew Fleming was I think he was a four-star or a highly regarded three. I know Memphis was in on him. Florida, I think, was in on Andrew Fleming. And is it Andrew Fleming?
It is.
Okay. I'm getting Andrew Francis in my head right now, who has also left the program. I'm not going to go down that road. Fleming was interesting because he was really highly regarded, and he passed the eyeball test.
He did.
You look at him and you go, oh, wow, that's a Big Ten player. And then he stepped foot on the court, and the game wasn't there. And so that's a whiff. And
it never really came around at Lipscomb either.
And Lipscomb was his second school because he went originally from Iowa to UT Chattanooga and then wound up at Lipscomb, which I think is a division.
It's D1. I think they just missed the tournament
this year. Okay.
I think they were in the NIT.
So, and then you throw Moss in there. Did we hit all of them?
I think you're missing one.
It
was a very big story when he transferred.
Christian Williams, who is at Indiana State right now, who played, who started, I think every, started all 23 games this season for Greg Lansing at Indiana State. He had to sit out last year after transferring. To me, this is, it's so bizarre. It's a story that you have six roster spots and you go 0-6. That none of these guys made it to their senior night, with the exception of Dale Jones, who went through senior night a year early so he could get out of here and go play at North Dakota. Now, a couple of these defections wind up opening scholarships in the 2016 recruiting class, and you certainly have Tyler Cook is in that class, Jordan Bohannon, Ryan Creener, Maishi Daly, who's now gone, and Cordell Pemsel, who is going to be counted on to fill a hole vacated by classmate Tyler Cook. So a couple of these 2015 defections got parlayed into additions by subtraction in 2016, but I don't think there's a coach in the country that if you gave them six scholarships, they would say, yeah, I'm fine with getting 5 years down the road and not having any of these guys around here anymore.
And it made it so that in 2016, they had to hit on almost all of them
to survive. Which, to Fran McCaffrey's credit and his staff's credit, they did for the most part.
They hit on 4 of 5 who three of them were big-time contributors last year, and Bohannon, Cook, and Creener. Pemsel, if he's healthy, will be a contributor. Maishi Daly's transferred, but wow. Six.
Thank the Lord for Jordan Bohannon right up the interstate.
Right. Six commitments, six signees, and zero of them make it all 4 years. That's devastating. That is absolutely devastating.
It should be devastating. It should be devastating, and yet Iowa somehow managed to tread water the last couple seasons and then gets back to the NCAA tournament this year. What other program outside of the true blue bloods this would never happen at? But I'm not sure there's another program and coach in the country who could come out the other side from this.
How much do you think that this impacted the, 2017-2018 season, though?
Oh, I think it had a major impact.
Huge impact on 4-14 in the Big Ten.
And this is why, also, to pay it forward here in the conversation, why losing Isaiah Moss next season is a big deal for those of you who don't think it is, because that's veteran leadership. It's a guy who's been there, done that. He's started. He's contributed. He shot 43% from beyond the arc and started on a team that made it to the NCAA tournament in the second round of the tournament.
Scored 16 points in the second round of the tournament.
I have a hard time believing that you go from that to having your minutes reduced to single digits or 10 minutes a game.
When I didn't understand.
That wasn't going to happen.
No, because he has one of the most unique skill sets of anybody on that team, right? I know
he can make baskets.
He can shoot, and he can also dribble. That sounds bad to say that this team is full of guys that are one dimensional, but at times it is. And Joe Wieskamp was finding his way last year. He's going to be great next year. There's no question in my mind that Joe Wieskamp is going to be a difference maker next season. But Isaiah Moss's ability at times to get to the free throw line and break guys down off the dribble wasn't consistent, but when he could do it, he was the only one that could.
And I think that's where the initial reaction yesterday was, fans were saying, yeah, this is no big deal, because they were choosing to focus on the times where he wasn't consistent.
Right.
Now, the times where he looked really good,
like that stretch last year where, 10 of 14 from beyond the arc right in the middle of the season when Iowa won 5 games in a row?
And the interesting, we've got a couple people on the text line that are trying to tie in Andrew Francis is leaving with Moss is leaving. According to the Rivals database, it was Fran McCaffrey who was the primary recruiter on Isaiah Moss, not Andrew Francis. I don't want to jump to conclusions there that there is any sort of close relationship there. Although coaches, assistant coaches, and players have bonds, and Andrew Francis, there are people out there. Look, show me a sports fan, either in the professional or the college ranks, who doesn't at least have some sort of conspiracy theorist in them, and I'll show you somebody that I don't believe in. Every fan out there wants to think that there's some sort of vast conspiracy as to why people leave all the time. And I still don't know what Andrew Francis's motives are on going to Cal, but this is going to go down as one of the most interesting off seasons in Iowa basketball under Fran McCaffrey. And I got nothing. There are programs out there and websites out there where people will pretend to have something. You can go hang out with them if you want. I'm not going to sit here and sell you a bill of goods. I don't know. And that's the absolute worst thing that somebody in my job, my position can do is tell you that I'm telling you the truth. I don't know why Isaiah Moss would leave. I'm trying to put myself in his shoes. And there has to be something here where he just wants an opportunity elsewhere, not in Iowa City. And you wish him the best if you're a Hawkeye fan, because the kid stayed out of trouble. He pulled your bacon out of the fryer a couple times over the course of his career. Teammates seemed to generally like him. Fans liked him. The media certainly liked him. I thought he was a really nice kid, enjoyable to talk to. Now he's gone. 319-366-1600. Let's go to Jim just outside Marengo. Jim, what's up?
Hey, I want to wish Moss good luck, and Macy and Tyler. And, you know, Moss, 43% from the line and or from the three, and what do you say, 9.2?
9.2. So
I've watched the Hawks for 30-some years. He may be the most frustrating player I've ever seen in my life. He goes off for 25, and then he might not score more than 4 points the next three games combined. It just disappeared at times. But a lot of talent, but just frustrating.
And I
definitely fair.
I think that's a fair critique of Isaiah Moss. And
that's how. Yeah,
I think many of us have probably been there, done that in our various professions. I think everybody would love to be give it 110% every single day of the week, but there are days where you've got it, and there's days where you don't. And to me, I've said this a number of times about Moss. He was the X factor, because you never knew if he was going to show up and score 25 or if he was going to show up and score 4. And the nights where he scored 25, you loved him. Things worked out really well for the Hawkeyes on those nights for the most part.
I've seen a lot of people pointing him out in the when talking about the Iowa basketball program. And I think this is sort of a fair judgment to or fair dots to connect. How many times are we talking about players like him who sort of flash early on in their career and you think, okay, this guy is going to become a really good player where he's scoring 25 points. You think that there's going to be some type of consistency, and that player never really comes around and becomes that great player that you thought he was going to be. It happens quite a bit. In Fran McCaffrey's program. So I think that is a fair criticism, where Tyler Cook falls under that boat. Mike Gesell falls under that boat. I mean, there are plenty of names out there that you can sit and say, that guy didn't become the great player. That guy didn't get markedly better from his freshman to his junior or senior year. And I think that is very frustrating to a lot of fans.
319-366-1600. We'll certainly revisit this in the 5 o'clock hour and probably in the 6 o'clock hour as well. We're going to get to Love It or Leave It on the other side of this break. Stick around, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, streaming online at kgymradio.com. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Back with more after this.
When I walk in the bank, there's two or three people that say, "Hey, Pat. Hi, Pat. How you doing? Thanks for coming in today." That's what makes a person feel special. Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust has made the commitment to me and the other union trades in town to be that union bank.
Is it the "how can we help you" feeling Pat Loeffler and the members of Carpenters Local 308 get every time they stop by Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust?
They've been there for me every single time that I've asked them. It's a hometown feel. You have a place that you can come in and sit down and talk with somebody on a personal level. That means a lot to my members. I work with Brittany, I work with John Rodriguez, I've worked with numerous people at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust over the years. You're just not another number to them. You're a face and a name. They know you.
Or is it the cookies?
Oh my goodness. I put them in top, at top of the line. I hit their cookie counter before I leave the bank every time.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust. Meet them at peopleyoucanbankon.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Connecting with your family and friends is what La Cantina is all about, especially on Cinco de Mayo. And this year, La Cantina is celebrating all Cinco de Mayo weekend long. May 3rd through 5th, Mexican bottled beer or 12-ounce lime margaritas, two for $6. Two bottles of ice-cold Mexican beer or two tangy 12-ounce lime margaritas, just $6, May 3rd through 5th. Get festive for Cinco de Mayo at La Cantina, in the fountains on Edgewood Road, in Marion, and in downtown Cedar Rapids.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Listen up, everybody. I'm happy to say that our office will be doing a winter coat drive.
Oh, I think I have something.
Actually, they just need men's coats in a size medium, preferably light blue.
What charity is this exactly?
The None of Your Business Foundation.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes. Warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank. Where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. And you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One and a member FDIC. Cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
After dropping game one, Giannis and the Bucks bounce back. Now the series shifts to Boston for a pivotal game three.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here on The Gym. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Friday's on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. Two Rivers locations in Coralville and Iowa City. My neighborhood, my bank. Two Rivers Bank and Trust member, FDIC. Coming up on the program, Jack Dom, set to join us in the 5 o'clock hour, and Rob Raines giving us the lowdown on the St. Louis Cardinals, who fell to the Cubs earlier today 4-0 at Wrigley Field in the series opener between those two teams. Kyle has joined us in the studio. He's got his own thoughts on Iowa basketball. Maybe we'll bring him into the conversation in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now, he's going to bring you a big board update. The folks at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City want you to know that they've got just what you need to finish that spring or summer construction project. Maybe you're putting a new deck on the house, looking to upgrade your windows. Alexander Lumber, they've got a temporary location in Iowa City at 2802 Independence Drive. They bring you this big board update.
The Iowa baseball team's worked its way onto the postseason bubble coming down the home stretch, but for now I'm talking about really on the bubble, which is why the three-game series that begins tonight hosting UC Irvine is so crucial. Irvine's a top 25 team and the last real chance for Iowa to improve its resume for an at-large bid. First pitches in Iowa City tonight is 6:05, 2:05 tomorrow, and 1:05 on Sunday. The Minnesota Vikings released a very user-friendly minicamp roster earlier today, and it revealed that Kyle Gronewig is getting a shot up there, as well as UNI's Carter Schultz, Ricky Neal, and Bryce Douglas. A few other former Panthers have opportunities lined up. Eli Dunn with the Falcons, Elias Nissen with the Bears, and Austin Eartham with the Chiefs. Greg Steven, the disgraced former coach and director involved with the Iowa Barnstormers AAU program, was sentenced to 180 years in prison for his crimes against over 400 boys over a 20-year span. The Colonels dropped the rubber match with Bowling Green last night, 2-0, but it's a Z102.9 Mug Club night tonight as they host Dayton. I'll be there after the show, but first pitch is set for 6:35. And then after the show here on KGYM, we're going to join the Twins and Yankees in progress on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Tomorrow, we'll have game two of the Cubs and Cardinals on the main gym and the Kentucky Derby on the FMs. And on Sunday night, we'll have game three on all three.
I'll get you my Kentucky Derby pick coming up here before we get off the air. I'm sure Alex has one as well.
Yeah, during the Love It or Leave It.
Oh, whoa, what a tease. Here we go. Love it or leave it.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
O of six.
Todd, I leave this. We've discussed this for the better part of the first half hour of the show with Isaiah Moss transferring from the Iowa basketball program. The 2015 class now ensures that none of the players that Fran McCaffrey signed to join the Hawkeyes will make it through 4 years. It's amazing to me that the basketball program was able to survive this with just one down year. And you look at the 2017 team, I think that 4-14 in the Big Ten, that is a large result of a recruiting class that didn't live up to expectations. And really, for the most part, other than Isaiah Moss, didn't make an impact in Iowa City. So for Fran McCaffrey moving forward, what does this mean? It means that this is a program that's still built on senior leadership. This is a program where you need guys excelling in their junior and senior seasons and getting better in their junior and senior seasons and helping your team move over the hump into that Sweet 16 round, a place that they have not been in over 20 years. So you look back at 2015 and you leave it if you're an Iowa basketball fan, because Isaiah Moss was the only one to make a contribution, and now he will not be playing in Iowa City next season, and that leaves a huge void on the roster that they're going to have to fill with some young players.
Number two.
Cubs-Cardinals.
I'm going to love this, and it has nothing to do with Kyle Hendricks spinning a gem today, beating the Cardinals 4-0 on 81 pitches. His by far his best outing of 2019. If you listen to yesterday's Hertine and Stocker Cubs report, you know Hendricks has really struggled this season. He seemed to find it against the Cardinals today. And how often do you see this in this rivalry where it just seems to bring out the best in both sides? And I don't think for any moment that the Cubs are going to sweep the Cardinals out of town this weekend. We'll have Saturday and Sunday's contests for you right here on KGYM. This is called Synergy, as I promote what we're bringing you over the weekend inside a segment on this show. I love this rivalry, and I know it gets under the skin of a lot of people having to acknowledge the Cubs and the Cardinals are the main players for the most part in this area, especially among National League fans. I've been to Wrigley Field for Cubs-Cardinals. I've been to Busch Stadium for Cubs-Cardinals. There's no rivalry in baseball that is as much fun as this one, especially when your team beats your co-host's team 4-0 on 81 pitches. Love it.
They look sleep deprived today.
Number three.
Yeah, that was less than ideal, as we mentioned last. No, they got in late last night because of the weather in Washington. I'd be sleepwalking today too. We'll see. Oh no, wait. We'll see is actually the next topic.
Leave it. This is what Cliff Kingsbury said when he was asked if Kyler Murray is going to start Week One for the Arizona Cardinals. Then he expanded on that and said, you know what, we have some other options at quarterback where we might not start Kyler Week One. Okay, give me a break. Are you really going to start Brett Hundley? Todd, is it a good idea to start Brett Hundley in Week One if you're the Arizona Cardinals?
Having seen Brett Hundley in a Green Bay uniform, the answer to that is no.
The answer to that is no. You spent the number one overall pick on your guy. He is your guy. You said you would spend a number one pick on him when you were at Texas Tech, Cliff, and you did. If you weren't the coach in Arizona, he would not have been the number one pick, but because you are, he is, which means you have to ride with him. He is a guy that will completely change that offense day one. He's going to be ready, so he's going to start. So I just don't understand the lack of transparency through all of this from the Arizona Cardinals. Draft season is over. There's no need to send smoke screens anymore. Leave it.
Number four.
I see you, Moss.
Isaiah Moss has left the program, and to touch on what we've already discussed here in the first hour of the program, I've got to leave this because this is a blow for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes. They're losing a veteran leader. They're losing a starter. They're losing a guy that shoots 43% from beyond the arc. I fail to see how anybody can look at this and say, they won't miss him. I guarantee you, mark it down, Kyle, mark it down, May 3rd, 2019, mark it down so that we have this audio. At some point this coming basketball season, you, if you're listening right now and are an Iowa basketball fan, you will find yourself saying, man, we really could have used Isaiah Moss tonight. Guarantee it. Now, there may be games where you don't even recall that he was on the team. That's fine. But there will be a moment, moments plural most likely, in the coming season where you wish Isaiah Moss was still in an Iowa uniform. And remember, the last time I told Kyle to mark audio was when I said there was no way in hell Fred Hoiberg was going to be Nebraska's coach. Okay, let's move on.
Number five.
I love this. I can't wait. An awkward conversation.
Ty, did you hear anything about the D'Angelo Russell story?
I can't get enough of this.
Now, he was arrested in an airport. The TSA, he was cited for marijuana possession. I was trying to figure out whether it was in an airport where, in a city where marijuana was decriminalized or not, because now in certain states, Missouri, Minnesota, it's just a $100 fine. It's not a criminal charge. But regardless, you hear that D'Angelo Russell of the Brooklyn Nets has been cited for marijuana possession. And then you hear how it happened. Apparently, he had an Arizona iced tea can in his bag, and that's where he was hiding his contraband. That's where he was hiding the marijuana. Do you guys fly at all? Do you know that liquids over how many ounces, is it two or three, are not allowed in your carry-on bag?
I think it's three.
It's three. An Arizona tea can, yeah, that's a little bit bigger than 3 ounces. So this is how I imagine this conversation going. The TSA agent says, hey, sir, you have liquid in your bag. We're going to have to take it away. We're going to have to throw it away. Is that okay with you? And him saying, No, that's not liquid. That's marijuana.
I don't want to throw it away.
I don't want to throw it away. Can't throw that away. That's not Arizona tea. That is marijuana. So I love this. This is a funny story. It doesn't even get into the whole debate in sports, whether it should be legalized or not. It's just the fact that somebody was trying to hide their weed inside of an illegal container that is also not allowed on the airplane.
They did an entire Saturday Night Live skit on this back in the day with David Spade. There was an entire store where all of the trinkets were things where you could put your weed in it. I think that was the exact phrase that David Spade kept repeating over and over. And Stephen A. Smith, self-aware Stephen A. Smith, discussed this story today. I loved it. That was a
number six.
A double.
Draft Talk and Nate Stanley.
I'm going to love this. It's not going to go away. We touched on this earlier in the week that Nate Stanley is going to be discussed as a high draft pick in the 2020 NFL draft, possibly working his way into the first round discussion that was talked about last year. If Daniel Jones can go number six overall, Nathan Stanley, if he has a good season, is going to be in the discussion of quarterbacks worth expending a draft pick on. And I know that that's hard for some people to believe, but he's got the body. It's not necessarily about the numbers, and it only takes one team to fall in love with you, as Dave Gettleman and the New York Giants proved last week.
Number seven.
Sometimes even the experts are a little off base. See, I did say Fred Hoiberg wasn't going to be. Okay, that's fine.
No, you don't have to beat me up about it.
No.
I'm talking about the world of Major League Baseball. I came to you a couple of times. We had a couple of MLB writers who we love having on the show. They bring a lot of great insight to the show. And this was a couple of weeks ago when the New York Yankees were experiencing all of their injuries. And what did I say to you, Todd? I'm like, man, these guys are beating up on friend of the show, Luke Voit. He wasn't, I think he was hitting 235 at the time.
Batting average.
The batting average batting wasn't average. Great, but his on-base percentage was something like 350.
The fantasy league that I do own him in is an on-base percentage league, and that's why I wasn't worried about him.
You weren't worried. You knew the hits were going to come. The plate discipline was there. The home runs were going to be there. He's gone on an absolute tear since, and through 1 month of play, his on-base percentage is at around 400. His home run, he has 9 home runs. He's hitting 277, and he is the best hitter on the New York Yankees right now. He's hitting in that 2 spot with all of the firepower currently injured for the Yankees. So I caution those who overreact to early baseball results. Don't do it. It's a long season. And even some of the experts sometimes are a little bit off base when saying that a certain position on the New York Yankees is, what they call that, a black hole? Yeah, I leave this.
Number 8.
Derby days.
Derby days. I love this. We're actually going to discuss the most interesting minor sports coming up in the 5 o'clock hour because I want to get people's takes on which sports that are sort of off the beaten path among the big four. And we'll throw soccer in there too, because I think soccer would definitely dominate the conversation. But among the less popular sports, I want to know where horse racing fits in. I have always enjoyed it. Working with Tyler for many years here sort of rekindled my interest in the Kentucky Derby. The Kentucky Oaks, by the way, is about to be run at Churchill Downs. They're about 30 minutes away from post time there. The number 12 horse, Street Band, today in the Kentucky Oaks, is partly owned by former Hawkeye Mark Stoops, currently at 24-1. A little bit of a long shot in the Oaks this afternoon, but if you're looking for a Hawkeye angle when placing your wagers, there you go. And the number 12 is not on my sheet, Mike, by the way, but thought I would throw that out there. I love this. Can't wait for the Derby tomorrow, and I think Alex can't wait either because I'm looking at his next Love It or Leave It.
Number 9.
Improbable.
I love this. One of 3 Bob Baffert horses in the Kentucky Derby. The other is Tyler Ryder's pick of game winner. Tyler Ivan's pick of game winner. And Roadster. And all 3 of these horses are in the top 5 as far as odds going into the Kentucky Derby at 6-1 odds or less. So when you hear Bob Baffert, the outstanding horse trainer for years and years, say this is a wide open race. Last year I came in with Justify and he was a man amongst boys. This year it's anyone's race. I like Improbable to win the Kentucky Derby tomorrow as one of the most ironic names in Kentucky Derby history. A horse who is a favorite with the name Improbable. And that is your Kentucky Derby analysis for the day. Forget what Ed DeRosa said yesterday.
Lock it in.
Forget what Barry Abrams, the horse racing expert, said on the gym class today. Improbable. Improbable. Book it.
Number 10.
All right, Todd. Chewbacca.
Chewbacca. I love this. Was brought up earlier today on the Dan Le Batard show. If you were listening at just the right time last night around the 6 o'clock hour, perhaps this program brought to you the sad news that Peter Mayhew, the 7'3" human being that played Chewbacca in the Star Wars franchise, passed away. The Dan Le Batard show mentioned that the character of Chewbacca is one of the few characters ever which is almost universally beloved. I've never met anybody who didn't like Chewbacca. And I think back on when I was a kid growing up, I did like Star Wars. I don't really get it now that I'm an adult that people still really go gaga over it. Although, again, falling back on my old tired trope of nostalgia being the most addictive drug available to mankind, I get it. Many of us don't want to leave our childhoods behind, and when we grow up, we still hang on to a piece of our past. How can you not love Chewbacca? He should have gotten a damn medal. And I'll leave it at that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
447. take a quick timeout. When we come back, the Chicago Bulls are doing it. They're doing it, and I don't really know why, and we'll see what this does for the franchise. What are they doing? We'll tell you when we return after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Before the start of the game, or once the game is over, the soundtrack for your celebration is Smart Rock on Smart FM. KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect combination for a great summer of top-of-the-line sports coverage. And Smart Rock is the perfect complement for all the action on and off the field. Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Not being able to make it home to moms to celebrate Mother's Day can be hard. But with 1-800-Flowers.com, distance doesn't mean anything because you can still brighten her day with a gorgeous bouquet. Right now, when you get ahead of the Mother's Day rush, 1-800-Flowers is giving you an exclusive 24 for 24 offer. That's 24 multicolored roses for $24. That's only $1 a rose. With a bright and beautiful mix of premium roses and a rainbow of colors, these blooms are guaranteed to show mom just how much she's loved. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak from premier farms and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. 24 multicolored roses for $24 is an amazing offer, but you have to hurry because it expires Friday. Order today from 1-800-Flowers.com. It's what mom would want you to do. To order 24 stunning multicolored roses for $24, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. Again, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, enter code WILL. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code WILL. Hurry, this fantastic offer expires Friday.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers Slip-On Footwear.
I like to make my life easy. I got a car that can drive itself, a robot that vacuums my whole house.
Carpet has been cleaned.
And Skechers Slip-Ons. They don't have laces, so I can just slip them on and off with ease. And they take comfort to another level. They're flexible, breathable, and have Skechers air-cooled memory foam. Plus, they come in a wide variety of current styles. Skechers Slip-Ons. You'll never want to wear anything else.
Try Skechers Slip-Ons with air-cooled memory foam today. Skechers. Comfort included.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
After a 6-1 homestand, Twins are back on the road for 6, beginning at Yankee Stadium on Friday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, game 1 of 3 in the Bronx. It's Kyle Gibson for the Twins, James Paxton opposing for New York on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Friend of the show, Luke Voigt, you can hear him on 107.5 FM.
Yes, you can.
Taking on the Minnesota Twins, by the way, Miguel Sano, the all-star third baseman for the Twins, taking the next step in his rehab, reporting to AA Pensacola as his next stop as he works his way back to the major league. So Sano should be back with the big league club in short order. Keep an eye on that, Twins fans. You can listen to the Twins all summer long, 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Should be a good game tonight, and we'll see how things turn out for the team that has the best record in baseball. Cubs, by the way, have the best winning percentage in baseball. And this is on top of that poor start at the beginning of the season, which is good news for Chicago sports fans, many of them, I guess, unless you're a White Sox fan, because the other Chicago sports news today wasn't exactly greeted with open arms. This is something that had been speculated for the better part of the last month, right? Jim Boylan getting an extension from the Bulls. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting this at ESPN earlier today. Jim Boylan has agreed to a multi-year contract extension with the Chicago Bulls, league sources tell ESPN. According to Woj, the Bulls ownership and management and we know who that is, considers Boylan the teacher the franchise needs now with a young roster. You're an NBA team. You don't need to be teaching. NBA teams shouldn't be teaching their current roster. You should have NBA-ready finished products on your roster if you are an NBA team. Am I wrong? 319-366-1600. When did the NBA become a developmental league?
When has an NBA team ever benefited from a coach who ruled with an iron fist? I get that they're young. I get that they have youth on that team, but they are professionals at the end of the day. And when you have guys walking out of the locker room 3 days into a coaching tenure, you don't give that person a contract extension. I don't care how bad you are or how bad you think you're going to be for the foreseeable future. But the problem is, nothing's going to change. We keep making jokes, and I get tired of making jokes because it'd be good if they were, I don't know, respectable at some point. But with the current regime in place, that doesn't look like it's coming anytime soon.
366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Haven't we had this nightmare before with the Bulls? Brenton in Marion weighing in. One of the stories earlier today was lauding Jim Boylan for talking to fans 45 minutes before tip-off. They have these functions where they get season ticket holders together, and Boylan brought some players in to talk to the fans 45. I think that's great, but 45 minutes before tip-off, I kind of want my professional athletes locked in on the game
at hand. Nice.
And the coaching staff also. But he's in there glad handing with season ticket holders like it's minor league baseball, and I guess that's one of the reasons he's getting a multi-year extension from the Bulls.
Is it not also hilarious that the reasoning that they're giving for giving him an extension, a three-year extension, was the exact reason that they fired Tom Thibodeau?
Never forget the Thibs-Hoiberg era in Chicago. Yes, you are correct. 319-366-1600-455. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back. We'll let you know what's in store in the 5 o'clock hour. Back with more after this.
Not being able to make it home to moms to celebrate Mother's Day can be hard. But with 1-800-Flowers.com, distance doesn't mean anything because you can still brighten her day with a gorgeous bouquet. Right now, when you get ahead of the Mother's Day rush, 1-800-Flowers is giving you an exclusive 24 for 24 offer. That's 24 multicolored roses for $24. That's only $1 a rose. With a bright and beautiful mix of premium roses and a rainbow of colors, these blooms are guaranteed to show mom just how much she's loved. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak from premier farms and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. 24 multicolored roses for $24 is an amazing offer, but you have to hurry because it expires Friday. Order today from 1-800-Flowers.com. It's what mom would want you to do. To order 24 stunning multicolored roses for $24, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. Again, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, enter code WILL. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code WILL. Hurry, this fantastic offer expires Friday.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
The Home Depot is not your garden variety garden center, not with the largest assortment of regionally selected live goods and landscape products, like big quart-sized Rio Diplodania at a special buy, 3 for just $12 in red, pink, or even raspberry. You can't pick better flowers for Mother's Day or a better price. Today's the day for doing, starting with a stop at the garden center of the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection varies by store, Continental U.S. only.
The Cubs and Cardinals. The next chapter in the rivalry begins this weekend.
Coverage begins at 2:30 on Saturday and Sunday at 5 here on the Gym. KGYM.
Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Fridays by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You can check them out in Coralville or Iowa City. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Because I opened my fat mouth and said something that was misrepresented, I do want to clear the air here. I said that the Cubs had the best winning percentage in baseball. They have the best winning percentage in baseball after the 2-7 start, when everybody was wringing their hands at the beginning of the year about how awful the team was going to be. So since that point, they have had a winning percentage of 737, and it's actually higher because this was before the 4-0 win earlier today. So to set the record straight, and I know this sometimes happens, I misspoke. I misrepresented what I was trying to get across to everybody. I did not intend to slight the Minnesota Twins, which we carry here on 107.5 FM, and clearly Twins fans are listening. And good on you. 366-1600.
This is a show about Twins tickets. Oh, sorry. No, never mind.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in those marketing meetings where they're coming up with the radio commercials, and that's all I'm going to say about that. It's a fine product.
Sure is.
The Twins are 19-10 right now and heading to New York to take on friend of the show Luke Voit. It's friends of the show everywhere because Mitch Garver's batting leadoff tonight in the series opener for Minnesota. I'm conflicted. I don't know who to root for. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, what's the deal with that 2015 recruiting class for Iowa? We touched on this earlier here in hour number one, but Iowa goes 0-6 with its 2015 recruiting class now that Isaiah Moss is transferring out of the program. Jack Dom is going to stop by. The Mount Mercy baseball coach will bring you his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases, and we will attempt to figure out what the most interesting minor sport is this Kentucky Derby week. The Oaks, by the way, about to be run under 15 minutes to post time at Churchill Downs. 319-366-1600. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is on the way after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
And Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. ESPN has learned the Lakers appear to be leaning toward Ty Lue as the team's new head coach. There is no job offer yet, however. 76ers assistant Monty Williams will be the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns. He also interviewed for the Lakers job, but ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports Williams will get a 5-year contract with the Suns.
To give him reason to believe he could have some staying power in that Phoenix job, which has not been the case. He'll be the fifth coach in 5 years there. He's dealing with a very challenging owner in Robert Sarver.
Earlier in his career, Williams was the head coach of the Pelicans. Celtics president Danny Ainge is back at home in Boston after a mild heart attack in Milwaukee on Tuesday night. The Celtics and Bucks play Game 3 in Boston tonight. Our coverage on ESPN Radio starts at 7:30 Eastern. That tips off a doubleheader on ESPN, the nightcap, Game 3 for the Nuggets and Trailblazers. That series also tied at 1. Indians right-hander Corey Kluber will be out indefinitely with that broken right arm. For now, at least, he will not need surgery.
Coming up on Monday, will Houston have a problem after Game 3? And will we be on our way to history with another Triple Crown run? Plus, we'll tell you who won the weekend. Goloka Wingo, Monday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Welcome to Spain and Fitz.
The biggest challenge this time of year is which sport to watch. So many choices. The start of the baseball season, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. Watch it all at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar. You'll see every home run, every slap shot, every slam dunk on Brick Alley's 180-inch big screen with stadium seating. They've got 20 beers on tap, happy hour weekdays from 3 to 6, and trivia Wednesday nights at 7. The choice is easy. Go to Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
Not being able to make it home to moms to celebrate Mother's Day can be hard. But with 1-800-Flowers.com, distance doesn't mean anything because you can still brighten her day with a gorgeous bouquet. Right now, when you get ahead of the Mother's Day rush, 1-800-Flowers is giving you an exclusive 24 for 24 offer. That's 24 multicolored roses for $24. That's only $1 a rose. With a bright and beautiful mix of premium roses and a rainbow of colors, these blooms are guaranteed to show mom just how much she's loved. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak from premier farms and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. 24 multicolored roses for $24 is an amazing offer, but you have to hurry because it expires Friday. Order today from 1-800-Flowers.com. It's what mom would want you to do. To order 24 stunning multicolored roses for $24, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. Again, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, enter code WILL. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code WILL. Hurry, this fantastic offer expires Friday.
503, welcome in, as this program is about to expire on a Friday. Hour number 2 of 3 with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as great local programs such as this one, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South Gym and North Gyms, respectively, in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, and streaming online at KGYMradio.com. Poll question available for you there today has to do with Isaiah Moss's leaving the Iowa basketball program and what you think it means for the team. Poll questions brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Find him on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's. We are being presented to you, as we are every Friday, by the good folks at Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You can check them out in person. They have locations in eastern Iowa, in Iowa City and Coralville. My neighborhood, my bank, Two Rivers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom said to join the program in about 15 to 20 minutes. Also here inside hour number 2, Alex and I will attempt to figure out what the world's most interesting minor sport is.
Lawnmower racing.
A minor sport is defined in my book as anything that we talk about sports-related on this program that brings people complaining to us on the text line. Why are you talking about the Kentucky Derby? Why are you talking about horse racing? So that's the inspiration for one of our discussion topics here in the 5 o'clock hour, hopefully. It's going to depend on listener participation, 319-366-1600. But first, I feel as if this were spoiled a little bit in the first hour of the program, but all that means to me is people want to talk about this. They want to talk about Isaiah Moss and him leaving the Iowa basketball program and what this means and the reasons behind it. And I don't have any of the answers for that. I've said that a number of times as we get ready for the 5 o'clock hour underway here. Drive Time brought to you by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. That 2015 recruiting class, I know we touched on it, and you delved into it a little bit on Love It or Leave It earlier today, and it was the subject of my sports view in the 1 o'clock hour inside the Stephen A. Smith Show here on KGYM. 6 scholarships. None of those 6 scholarship players made it a full 5 years with the Iowa basketball program, 4 or 5 years, depending on whether or not redshirt was involved. Now, one of those players, Dale Jones, was a junior college transfer, so he did not make it to the 3-year threshold. He was gone to North Dakota for his final season of eligibility. So you had 6 scholarships, and this isn't necessarily all that uncommon, maybe at the start of a coaching era, but this was, Fran McCaffrey took over in 2010. So this was, you had the Adam Woodbury, Mike Gesell grouping that was graduating, and this was going to be the next wave coming on the heels of that group riding off into the sunset, and Iowa basically missed on 5 of 6 scholarships. You got to give credit, in my opinion, for Moss. I think he's a really good player. He was vexing. He frustrated fans, but
he was never as great as people thought he could be.
Right. But he always showed you, the name that comes to mind right now is a guy that Cubs fans are sort of in love with, but they're not really. and that's Dylan Maples. He's a relief pitcher. Are you familiar with him?
I've heard the name.
He has, if you follow Rob Friedman on Twitter, the pitching ninja, who takes these pitching gifts and spreads the holy gospel of Major League Baseball through pitching gifts, he had a couple images of Dylan Maples' slider during the Seattle series. And there's one where Edwin Encarnacion basically poops his pants. And it's nasty. The problem is, Maples is like a lot of hard-throwing relievers with nasty stuff. He can't harness it consistently. If he could,
command issues.
If he could, he'd be a ninth-inning guy. He'd be a closer for somebody. That's how nasty his stuff is. And that's sort of where I go with, from a baseball perspective, football, I think of a guy like Hakeem Butler. What's the knock on Hakeem Butler going into the draft was sometimes he can't hang on to the ball. Sometimes he gets a case of the dropsies. And Isaiah Moss was sometimes he'd score 25, sometimes he'd score 4. And you could never get that consistent. And that's why he averaged 9.2, and that's why you have to focus on the average, because 25 or 2, 25 or 4, it, somewhere in the middle is what you got, but you never got it consistently out of him. And I think, again, that's why fans, as we touched on yesterday, the initial reaction is to tell yourself everything is going to be okay. If your house burns down and you got out alive and the pets made it out alive, your first reaction is, okay, everybody's out alive, it's okay. And then maybe later on you allow yourself to realize, okay, this is sort of a big deal. My house burned down. But in the meantime, you're focusing on the here and now. Iowa fans are like, okay, it's no big deal. Kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal to have a guy who started and was a veteran presence and was going to be a veteran presence. And the assumption here, and there are a lot of them, is that Joe Wieskamp will be a superstar next year, which I think is, it's not necessarily a safe bet, but it's close to it. I don't think there is a safe bet in sports other than, as the Oaks, are they off yet? Bellafina.
Other than improbable, right?
Bellafina was my choice in the Oaks, followed by Jaywalk. There is no safe bet in sports, but you have Joe Wieskamp presumably taking a major step forward. Okay, you're counting on that. You're counting on Joe Toussaint to come in and be a freshman who contributes heavily. You're counting on the McCaffrey brothers. I know there have been a couple texts, and it's not that I'm hedging on mentioning those texts that are hinting at, well, late in games, Fran put his own son into the game over Moss, and I'm sure he was upset about that. I don't want to touch it.
Not saying it's true, not saying
don't
it's not.
Don't want to touch, because if I'm not in his head, I can't say that that's a reason or not.
See, Todd, this whole situation sort of,
here's the thing,
reminds me of what we talk about with baseball prospects, or just prospects in general. What do you always say about them? They've never broken your heart yet.
Yet.
They haven't shown you what they can't
do.
We
love the next best thing until the next best thing isn't best.
So here's a situation where a once promising prospect has shown inconsistencies, and the ability to score 25 games, 25 points one game, and then go out the next game and score 2 points. And it's frustrating to a lot of fans. And a lot of people who are sitting here and saying, this is not a big deal, are justifying it by saying, okay, Joe Toussaint, CJ Frederick, Patrick McCaffrey, three players we have not seen yet. Three players who have not broken your heart yet, who haven't shown inconsistencies yet, where this guy who averaged 9 points per game and over 42% shooting, while inconsistent, was a key player. You can't count on any of those guys to have that kind of effect in year one. You just can't count on it.
Which is a great point, because going back to that 2015 recruiting class, I think one of the guys that fans were most excited about was Andrew Fleming.
Yes.
Andrew Fleming passed the eyeball test.
Certainly did.
He looked like a big time. And then you looked at the offer list and you saw the schools that were in on him. And he chose Iowa over for some reason. And it's not because you're sitting across from me. I think Memphis was on the list. I want to say Florida was on the list. But you take a look at.
Memphis was on the list. Okay. Auburn, Colorado State, Florida, Nebraska, UNLV.
Pretty good list of offers there. And you get this big-bodied kid, and he was going to be...
You heard about how good of a shooter he was.
Yep, going to be a difference maker. And then he got to Iowa City, and he wasn't a Big Ten basketball player, and that was evident almost from the get-go. And I think he knew it. He's like, I got to get out of here. Winds up at UT Chattanooga and finishes his college career at Lipscomb. He was highly regarded. Moss was interesting to me because outside of Auburn, who there was a little interest there according to Rivals, the other schools on his list, DePaul, East Carolina, UW Green Bay, Northern Illinois, Temple, UIC, Iowa State, I think, had a little bit of interest, although I don't think there was a scholarship offer extended to him. Not a ton of interest there with him coming out of Chicago, and I know there's a lot of buzz that maybe he winds up at Illinois or an Illinois-based school. It'd be a really good get for Brad Underwood. I'm not going to lie there, but 0-for-6 on the 2015 recruiting class. I think that's a story, and I don't know how you just sort of explain that away. I think it'd be a great question to ask in hindsight. Take us back to 2015. What was the plan? What were we looking at here? And what went wrong? And Fran McCaffrey and his staff could answer for that, and maybe we'll learn at some point in time.
It'll be interesting if somebody asks him about that recruiting class. Because I honestly think that there are recruiting classes with Kirk Ferentz where you can look back and say, okay, well, this, if you're a developmental program and you rely on guys carrying your team as a junior or senior, you have to consistently bring in those types of players. And when they transfer or don't pan out, it can lead to some down years. And I think that it has directly led to those outlier years for Kirk Ferentz where they go 4-8 or 5-7. Doesn't happen very often, but it has happened before. And with this, in this case, it's sort of fresh in your mind because every single year you're hearing about these high-profile transfers from that 2015 class. First, it was Christian Williams, and then it was Ahmad Wagner. And now, going into his senior year, where I think that he would have been a big-time contributor, he would have been playing 25, 30 minutes a game, all of a sudden Isaiah Moss is leaving too. So, as I pointed out, I think this was a big factor in why the 2017-2018 team struggled so much. And for Fran, he just has to figure out what went wrong and how to avoid this happening again, because it can have devastating results.
What do you think, Hawkeye fans? 319-366-1600. Maybe the better question is, how did Iowa survive whiffing on an entire recruiting class, and not just a class of two or three kids, but six scholarships?
The maturation of that next class. And it wasn't quick either, right? Because that 2016 team, Peter Jock is still there. He's averaging 20 points per game. And then you start to see the freshmen trickling in. And there, I think a lot of Iowa fans got excited, and some even said, you know what? Peter Jock leaving, maybe they're a better team without Peter Jock. We quickly found out that wasn't the case. But that next year, when they all had to carry the load as sophomores, everyone had a sophomore slump at one time. And then last year, they started to figure it out. But yes, that next class, if they didn't hit on three or four of the five, they would have been in big, big trouble.
The Kentucky Oaks has just been run. That's the traditional lead-in to the Kentucky Derby. And my pick was way off. Serengeti Empress, which ran out of the 13th post position and went off the board at 13-1, is the winner of the Oaks today, followed by Leora, which was 38-1 going off the board at the start of the race. So if you had the exacta of the 13-9 exacta in the Kentucky Oaks, the 11th race, you made some coin today. 13-1 and 38-1 boxed up. Yowzers. 3-6-6-1600. And if you are not into horse racing, but you are into another minor sport, you're in luck. Because we're going to try to figure out just exactly what the most popular minor sport is. And these are all the sports that you don't get a tab for on ESPN.com or CBSSports.com. You've got to go under the others to find them. I think it's going to be an interesting discussion. It may or may not be something that leads us to a well that we may fall down and not recover from.
No, I'm excited for this. Can I say one more thing on the Moss transfer? What is going to be the reaction if he goes to another big-time school and excels?
If he, you said big time and not Big Ten. You're talking
big time,
just
power five. Yeah,
power he goes five. To a power five or whatever the basketball
Let's just
equivalent
say Alabama.
Is.
Alabama. He goes to Alabama. He's not going to. He wants to go somewhere closer to home, presumably.
Fans will justify it somehow, I'm sure. But where it would really snowball is if Iowa struggles next year.
Right.
If Iowa wins 22, 23 games next year, no one's even going to be looking back in the rearview mirror at this. If Iowa struggles or there are, God forbid, injuries, which again, my entire take on this is based on you can never have too much depth in the Big Ten. And anybody who tells you can get by in the Big Ten without depth, I think they're selling you a bill of goods. There are outliers, yes. You can find teams historically that have made it through riding five guys. Those are really, really, really good five players. If you want to look at the Fab Five at Michigan. But you need depth. And I know the spin out there last night was, well, you know, Fran McCaffrey's struggled when he's had an 11 to 12-man rotation. So this just tightened things up. But to me, you can't spin this as a good thing, losing a veteran, a senior veteran who shoots 43% from beyond the arc. 3-6-6-1600, it is 5:20. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to get you a big board update. And Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, will be along with us for his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases. Again, the results final from the Kentucky Oaks, the 13-horse Serengeti Empress off the board as a 13-1 betting favorite, followed by Leora at 38-1. I can't wait to see the unofficial payout here on the exacta. Kentucky Derby week continues. Let's squeeze in 35. You called it the absolute worst time, 35:30, but we'll bring you on board. What's up?
All right, well, I'll make it quick then, guys. I just kind of wanted to chime in on the Iowa basketball. I just, you know, as far as the whole Moss situation, I mean, you can try to look at it with rose-tinted glasses, but it's not a good thing. I mean, and I texted you guys yesterday. I think part of the inconsistency comes from it was kind of a team-wide thing. We just didn't have enough basketballs to go around. It's real hard, you know, when you've got that many scorers. You know, one night Garza hits for 20, the next night Cook hits for 20. And I was kind of thinking this year Moss could maybe break out a little bit with Cook not being there. You know, and as far as like what Kuhn was saying about, you know, the new recruits coming in, he's absolutely right. It's hard to count on guys you haven't even seen play in college. I mean, the younger McCaffrey obviously is going to need some seasoning, whether that be a redshirt or just, you know, more of a reserve role, but not count on him as a big-time scorer right off the bat. But I was just kind of wondering, too, if you guys had heard anything about any of the transfer possibilities. I heard about the kid from Notre Dame, and then I heard the brothers from Marquette. But then it's gone kind of quiet, so I just wondered if there's anything new on that. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Harvey was just in Iowa City yesterday.
So I think he's visiting Vanderbilt next.
And I think that he has a really good shot of winding up at Iowa. He would be sitting out next year, so he's not an impact for the Hawkeyes on the court next year. The Hauser brothers out of Marquette are a long shot. I don't think they're coming to Iowa. But though it was interesting to see transfer names come up in relation to coming to Iowa, which is, it's just the landscape that we live in now.
Right.
If you're not in the transfer portal game, you're not in the game. He's 750 kids transferring. I know Tubby Smith has shared thoughts on this and other college basketball coaches and whether or not this is a good thing for the game.
Well,
but
you can either adapt or you can complain and stink, Tubby. I'm sorry. That's the harsh reality of college basketball, isn't it?
It's free agency come to amateur sports, essentially, without a payday, unless you've got a contact with a shoe company. 319-366-1600. We've got for you a pair of tickets to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium. They're coming on July 6th. We will give that away sometime before 6 o'clock tonight. So if you are a fan of Hairball, maybe you've seen them 100 times, maybe you've never seen Hairball, they're not a cover band, they're a tribute show. A heck of a tribute show. All your favorite 80s music, all your favorite 80s bands. Hairball, one-stop shopping. Tickets on sale for that July 6th concert at kernels.com. And again, inside the next 40 minutes, we will hook you up with a pair. 366-1600, that's the number that you're going to need to call when it's time. But first, we're going to come back. Kyle's going to get you a big board update, and then we'll talk a little Cubs-Cardinals baseball, among other things, with Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom, his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases, on the way after this.
Connecting with your family and friends is what La Cantina is all about, especially on Cinco de Mayo. And this year, La Cantina is celebrating all Cinco de Mayo weekend long. May 3rd through 5th, Mexican bottled beer or 12-ounce lime margaritas, two for $6. Two bottles of ice-cold Mexican beer or two tangy 12-ounce lime margaritas, just $6, May 3rd through 5th. Get festive for Cinco de Mayo at La Cantina, in the fountains on Edgewood Road, in Marion, and in downtown Cedar Rapids.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Sunshine. Grass. Beer.
Baseball.
Strike?
Best seats ever.
Best seats ever.
Home run. High five.
Hot dogs.
Happy family.
Happy, happy family.
Twins tickets.
Twins tickets.
That's hit a long way.
Twins tickets. Get them now. TwinsBaseball.com.
Menards has home improvement products you need to give your home a complete makeover at a great price. Because nobody beats our prices. Right now, all Geldwin windows and patio doors are on sale. And visit the Menards.com window designer to design and buy the windows of your dreams. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Mother's Day. Stop in and save big money through May 5th during the Menards Spring Catalog Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents The World's Worst Boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Listen up, everybody. I'm happy to say that our office will be doing a winter coat drive.
Oh, I think I have something.
Actually, they just need men's coats in a size medium, preferably light blue.
What charity is this exactly?
The None of Your Business Foundation.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
After dropping game one, Giannis and the Bucks bounce back. Now the series shifts to Boston for a pivotal game three.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here on The Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. And this show, also 106.3 and 107.5 FM in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. KGYMradio.com streaming online. The $2 exacta ticket on the Kentucky Oaks, if you wagered the 13-9 exacta, a $2 ticket paying back $878 at Churchill Downs. And people ask, why do you like horse racing? Because you can turn $2 into, of course, you can also take a match to $2 really
it's
quickly.
$2, though. Okay.
Really quickly. If you you can spend the entire day at the track, and it can be very frustrating or it can be very fun. Which, by the way, congratulations going out to Sammy Camacho, the rider of the year at Tampa Downs. We visited Tampa Downs during the last Outback Bowl trip and came away quite happy hitting the pick six. 319-366-1600. Let's send things over to Kyle. He's got a big board update for you. Big board updates brought to you by a place that knows a thing or two about boards, Alexander Lumber. You can check out their temporary location on Independence Drive in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa baseball team's worked its way back onto the postseason bubble coming down the home stretch, but for now I'm talking about really on the bubble, which is why the three-game series that begins tonight hosting UC Irvine is so crucial. Irvine's a top 25 team and the last real chance for Iowa to improve its resume for an at-large bid. First pitch in Iowa City tonight, 6:05, 2:05 tomorrow, and 1:05 on Sunday. The Minnesota Vikings released a very user-friendly minicamp roster earlier today, and it revealed that Kyle Gronewig is getting a shot up there, as well as UNI's Carter Schultz, Ricky Neal, and Bryce Douglas. A few other former Panthers have opportunities lined up. Eli Dunn with the Falcons, Elias Nissen with the Bears, and Austin Eartham with the Chiefs. Greg Steven, the disgraced former coach and director involved with the Iowa Barnstormers AAU program, was sentenced to 180 years in prison for his crimes against over 400 boys over a 20-year span. The Colonels dropped the rubber match with Bowling Green last night, 2-0, but it's a Z102-point Mug Club night tonight as they host Dayton. I'm going to be there shortly after we got off the air, but first pitch is set for 6:35. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Celtics and Bucks on the South and Main gyms. We're also going to be joining the Twins and Yankees in progress on 107.5 FM, the North gym. And then tomorrow, we'll have game 2 of the Cubs and Cardinals on the Main gym and the Kentucky Derby on the FMs. And on Sunday night, we'll have game 3 on all 3.
You're pouring beer tonight?
I'm going to be the pouring beer, yeah. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Z102.9 Mug Club Night. I think we've talked about this in the past before, but you get your first mug of beer at regular price, and then you get a refill price. Mostly, it's usually like 50% off or something the rest of the night, and you bring the mug back for remaining Friday home games throughout the season, and you just pay the refill price the rest of the season. So it really is the greatest deal in baseball here in Eastern Iowa. Z102.9 Mug Club Night. Plus, you get to meet the one and only Kyle Mann. And if you ask him nicely enough, I bet he would share his Game of Thrones thoughts with you.
Sign some autographs.
No. Just Game of Thrones thoughts. Just pouring Cersei Lannister, house of this, house of that. Here you go. Enjoy your beer.
The 6:35. The king that died?
White Walker. Night Walker. Johnny Walker.
I said the Lizard King the other day, but then I realized that was Miles Michaelis.
You're mixing your Cardinals. 366-1600. Stop on in. Gates open at 5:30 tonight, and first pitch at 6:35. Colonels.
The Night King.
Taking on the Dayton Dragons, the affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds, and there are a number of Reds fans here in Eastern Iowa who grew up going to the old Veterans Memorial Stadium, seeing the Cincinnati Reds affiliate here in town. Some of the best days of minor league baseball in Cedar Rapids, the 80s and early 90s, before the Reds split for, I believe it was Charleston, West Virginia. 5:31, we bring on board now one of our favorite Friday weekly guests. He's our only Friday weekly guest during baseball season. Don't take it personally. Also a favorite. Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, joining us. Touching all the bases, and Jack, let's go ahead and start with the Cubs and the Cardinals, a big rivalry here in Eastern Iowa for a lot of people. Cubs take game one today behind an absolute gem from Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, I wasn't able to see it. We were playing at the same time. But it sounds like he threw tremendous, which, to be honest, going into the series, I was a little concerned about with the pitching matchups with Kyle Hendricks struggling. You got Contreras and then Hugh Darvish, or those two might be flipped, but I didn't necessarily like the matchups. But Kyle Hendricks got it going. I was just reading up on it. It sounds like he had an 81-pitch complete game shutout, and that's Greg Maddux like back in the day. So that's a big win for the Cubs. I thought the first game of the series was going to be a huge key for the Cubs, and to get that win, hopefully get some, gives them confidence going into these next couple games.
The Cubs are playing good baseball at this point. I think the question remains for a lot of Cubs fans: can this pitching staff hold up throughout the entire season? What do you think?
I think that's a great question. Here's the thing: is Kyle Hendricks is the guy that's been struggling the most, and he's the guy that you look at as supposed to be steady Eddie, that you're always going to get that 5, 6, 7 quality innings out of him. So if they can get him back on track, that's a huge, huge boost for the pitching staff. And usually when he has a good outing, he's able to keep it going. I know he had a real good one earlier at Arizona, and then kind of struggled after that, but if they can get him going, he's just Mr. Steady Eddie, going to give you a quality start every time out. But Hugh Darvish is still the big question: how is he going to do? Tim Thomas has been throwing pretty well. I still see him as more of a fourth starter instead of a two or three guy. But Lester coming back, he's throwing the ball extremely well. So it is a veteran staff. It's going to be a big key for the Cubs to be able to get those guys throwing well. Just like the Cardinals staff. The Cardinals have very good pitching. They're starting to get themselves throwing extremely well. They're catching up to their hitting. But starting pitching is a big key to take pressure off of the Cubs' bullpen. I'm still leery of the bullpen. Morrow being shut down, looks like he won't be back until at least the All-Star break. That bullpen still concerns me, but the starting pitching is what can take a lot of pressure off that bullpen.
Jack, we were talking with Jesse Rogers from ESPN 1000 in Chicago this week about Mike Montgomery and what the Cubs may be doing with him. He's close to returning. It sounds like they could look at maybe moving him or trading him because he just doesn't quite fit in right now on the roster. Would that move surprise you?
Not really, because he's a very – he's got a lot to offer. He'd be – I just talked about Santana, being more of a fourth starter. Mike Montgomery could be very, very valuable to a team that's trying to win a pennant as that swing guy, as that fifth starter going back and forth to the bullpen, very similar to what he's done for the Cubs. And, I think he's starting to get a little frustrated too, because he wants to be a starter and he just hasn't been able to get that role with the Cubs on a regular basis. Now, he's been a huge part of the Cubs bullpen, but they might be able to move. He's their best asset right now as far as a guy that they could move and maybe get something in return to help the bullpen. And you can move him as a starting pitcher to try to get a real quality setup type of guy. So it doesn't surprise me they're talking like that. I've always been a huge, as I've talked about him for the last few years. Montgomery's a guy I really like. His versatility just gives you something in that bullpen. But, if Chadwick could keep making some progress and some of these other guys they've got in the minor leagues, he is expendable for them.
Are you starting to see Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant bust out of their slumps and take better at bats?
Yeah, that's good to see that Rizzo again hit a home run. I believe it's his third game. They had a day off. Getting a home run. And we talked last week, the last guy I'm concerned about is Rizzo because he's a professional hitter. He was a guy that was just going to find a way to get himself going. And even when he's struggling, he still has a way of helping you win games. It's good to see Brian is starting to get some things going a little bit, because if you get those two guys going along with Baez and then the rest of the guys and Hayward having a much better year, you know, that's a pretty potent offense. Schwarber needs to get going. You know, he's a little bit of a concern. Had a big home run the other day, of course. You know, the part about Schwarber that concerns me is he was a guy that used to get a lot of walks. You know, he's striking out a lot now and not getting. I think last time I looked, he only had 10 walks. That's not Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber used to know the strike zone and do such a great job of, even if he was hitting 240, 250, his walk count was up. He's not getting those walks right now. Probably pressing a little bit, expanding the strike zone a little bit. So, you know, it would be a huge plus if you could get him going also along with, you know, Rizzo and Bryant and those guys.
Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom with us on the program. The Cardinals at 20-12, even after today's loss, still atop the National League Central. What do you see when you look at this Cardinals team?
You know what? You're starting to see, just watching them a little bit, you're starting to see the old Cardinals of the Cardinal way. You know, they're still hitting their home runs, but they're running the bases a little bit better. They're getting better defensively. And we talked about Paul Goldschmidt last week about how he changes the entire infield from a defensive standpoint and the confidence of everybody else. They're starting to look like the old Cardinals. It's not just the long ball that's going to get you. You know, I had, for the first time, I was able to watch Fitch the other night. I haven't seen anything like him to throw the ball 103 miles per hour with that kind of movement. That to me, he might have be the most impressive reliever in baseball right now. You know, as far as this year goes, what an impressive arm he has with life, you know. And so I just think it's a very well put together team. You know, they've got the starting pitching is really starting to take form. Their hitting has been much better. Their base running, their execution, their defense, really every phase of the game. And then that bullpen is absolutely scary. So they're a very well-rounded team. And, you know, I was reading something the other day that the Cardinals have actually had the second best record in baseball since they got rid of Matheny. You know, that's pretty impressive to realize how well they've been playing. But again, they've gotten back to the basics. There's communication. One of the words in baseball, or as a coach or running a business, is clarity. If the players have clarity to the expectations, or when you're running a business, if you have clarity to the expectations you're supposed to have working at a certain company, your production goes way up. And there's definitely more clarity and communication within the Cardinals organization right now, and I think it's definitely benefiting them. Now, on the other hand, you look at the Cubs. What has Joe Madden done? You know, he's going to how to manage millennials, you know, and he's communicating much more on a regular basis. We've talked about, as managers, you know, managers aren't about coaching as much as really communication. You know, I talked to Jim Hendry, and it's funny how he talked about how good Joe Girardi was at telling guys, hey, you're going to have a day off here, here, and here. And players like that because they want to know when they don't want family coming if they're not going to be playing that day. They want to know that they can go out to eat or have a night out on the town. It's kind of funny, but, you know, that's what Joe Mann's learning, and I think that's what the Cardinals have within their organization is much better communication with millennials.
I want to get back to Jordan Hicks. Speaking of millennials, a very talented one at that at 22. There was so much talk last year about what role do they want to put him in? Do you want to try to make him a starter at this point with that kind of stuff and the success that he's having? You don't mess with success. He's the closer, right?
I agree with you 100%. You know why? You know what? Ride him out this year, and if all of a sudden you want to try to start him. But, you know, they've got so many good young starters also. You know, I just keep him in that closer's role. He can help you win more ball games. You know, in the closer role right now than as a starter. And we talk about it. It's so hard to find that guy that can get that last out. That 27th out is the toughest. And he's showing that he's got the ability to be able to do that. And, you know, with that fastball, the wipeout slider, I think, you know, look at the Cubs. The Cubs, what got them over the top is when they got Chapman. They knew they had a shutdown guy, and they've been missing that ever since Chapman's been gone. So you got a guy like Hicks, and I tell you what, every team is going to try to get the lead on the Cardinals by that fifth, sixth inning, because if you bring those guys in, you know, you go to that bullpen, it's going to be flat out nasty, very similar to the way the Milwaukee Brewers were last year. You had to have the lead in the fifth, sixth inning. If you didn't, you were going to be in trouble. So I think the Cardinals will definitely keep them in that role throughout this year.
Jack, let's take a look at things in the American League right now. I want to start with the White Sox. Carlos Rodon is the latest starting pitcher in Chicago to have an arm issue. At what point in time do you, if you're a front office, have to reevaluate things as far as how you're handling and preparing pitchers? Because they've had top prospects and now a pretty integral piece of their rotation go down with arm injuries.
Right. You know, that is a big concern in their power arm. You know, not that Rodon's a power arm, but for a lefty, he throws the ball hard and got that incredible, incredible breaking ball. You know, it's something you definitely have to evaluate. They've put Coop, their pitching coach, you know, he's up there like an assistant manager. I mean, he's got a lot of power and influence in the program or in the organization. I'm sure they're evaluating everything. There's so many metrics out there nowadays. You know, and understand that the one thing the White Sox have done is they've gone out and drafted and gotten young pitchers to try to build on. The scariest thing as a general manager is getting young arms, because you never know if they're going to pan out. That's why the Cubs, the way that they did it, they went after position players, and they're trying to get the arms through free agency and through trade of people that have made it to the big leagues and have had some success. So I think that's something that a lot of organizations have talked about. You know, looking at how the Cubs have done it, you know, you spend all these millions and millions of dollars on high school or college arms, and a lot of them end up breaking down before they make it to the big leagues. Why not spend money on position players and then spend money in free agency on arms, or via trade getting guys that have proven themselves at the big league level but are younger and have a couple years before they're free agents?
Let's stay in the AL Central. The Minnesota Twins have a three-game lead. They have the highest winning percentage in baseball right now, and the Cleveland Indians, who have been the class of that division for so long, just lose their former Cy Young Award winner and Corey Kluber. He fractured his arm. Is this the Twins' division right now to lose?
I'll tell you what, when they have an opportunity, whenever the Twins are up there early in the year or the middle of the year, it seems like they always end up making the playoffs at least as a wild card. But I really do. I think Cleveland's got a lot of issues. You know, Lindor's had the injury issues here early on. I believe, what do you have, the calf issue? And the biggest thing is when they were serious talk about trading Kluber, I think there was a little bit of resentment maybe by Kluber and some of those pitchers that they were talking about breaking it down. And I don't know if they came in with that confidence as an organization. There's something missing there here this year. Now I also think they've got one of the best managers in baseball, that he'll probably be able to find a way to get it going. But that's a big blow to lose Kluber, because he's a guy, he wasn't throwing as good as he had been. He wasn't at the Cy Young, you know, where he was previously when he was up for the Cy Young. But that's a big, big injury to get hit in that arm. That's scary. You never know how long that's going to take to be able to come back from. And, you know, I think without a doubt it's the Twins' year. And the best thing about the Twins is they won't be afraid to go out and make a couple of those mid-level moves when they need relief pitching or starting pitching or maybe a little help offensively.
At the same time, there's a couple moves beyond mid-level moves that could be made right now. Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell are still out there unsigned. Are we going to see these guys at all during the 2019 season?
I think you'll definitely see them, but it's probably going to be for a one-year deal. And how long do they want to sit out, and how much is it going to take to get them? You know, Dallas Keuchel, he's kind of on the downslope, and he's waiting. What it's going to take is for those guys, it's those people making those playoff pushes and then having an injury. So it's probably going to be another, I would say, 3 weeks to a month before maybe they sign, when people are starting to show that they're going to be able to make a run, and then maybe there's a key injury. also got to be the right team, you know. For Kimbrough right now, everyone's talking about the Braves. Is that a good fit? The other thing is once they sign, it's going to take them a couple weeks before they're pitch ready to be able to go to the big leagues. I think we will definitely see them throwing this year on a major league team, and they're going to be pitching at crunch time. You know, there's another way to look at it. You spend money on those guys in another month or so, and then they're going to have to go and basically get their spring training done down in the minor leagues. But you're going to have two fresh arms for the pennant race late in the year. And Dallas Keuchel and Kimbrell, and Kimbrell's proved himself to be one of the premier closers. Even though his numbers weren't very good in the second half, you'll have a fresh guy coming the second half of the season to try to make that push to the World Series. Will he sign a one-year deal? I think he will, and to try to continue to improve his stock for trying to get a 3 or 4 year deal later on.
Jack, I asked this semi-facetiously, but are you surprised at all to see Bryce Harper getting booed already in Philadelphia?
Not at all. I think that was the biggest thing people talked about. I think that was the biggest, when you heard people talking about where's he going to go, a lot of people say, well, he's probably reluctant to go to Philly because even Mike Smith got booed there, and he's Mike the greatest player in the history of the organization. So, remember, Bryce Harper's basically a 240 hitter. He's a guy that gets on base by the walk, and he's going to drive in runs. So he's not the guy that is going to be a 330 hitter, go out there and drive in 100 runs and hit 25 home runs. He's going to have a little higher power numbers. He's going to have the RBIs, and he's going to have the strikeouts, and he's going to get on base for you. So that's what the fans have to understand is what type of player he is. And, they're lucky to have him. They're going to have him for a long time. He's going to hear plenty of boos over the next 10, 11, 12, 13 years he's going to be there.
Jack, a big weekend for the Iowa baseball team about to get underway at Duane Banks Field. First pitch in the first game of the UC Irvine series is about 10 minutes away. Can you put into perspective for our listeners just what this series means, getting a team like UC Irvine to come to Iowa City to play the Hawkeyes?
Well, you're getting the top 25 team. They slid in the polls a little bit. I believe they're 25 this week. But you're getting a top 25 team coming out non-conference, so that helps your strength of schedule a ton. One of the things that they're going to look at the end of the year is how you've done outside the league and the type of competition that you've played. They had a big series when they went to Oklahoma State, and I forgot to look to see how Oklahoma State's been doing here, but to win 2 out of 3 at Oklahoma State is huge. If they can win 2 out of 3 against Irvine at home, you've got 2 big series wins against top 25 programs. Unfortunately, right now, Irvine's RPI has slipped a little bit down to about 54. I believe Iowa's is right around 60. So 2 wins against Irvine will help them slide up in the RPI. Typically, when I was at Creighton, when we were on a yearly basis, really battling for an at-large berth, you always want to be inside the top 50 going into the conference tournament. And then if you can get your 2 or 3 wins in the conference tournament, you're typically going to be an at-large team. Right now, this is the last way that they can really improve their strength of schedule, improve their RPI. So it's a huge weekend. And here's the other thing. They're playing a program that doesn't beat themselves. One of the things that Rick has done a great job is they find a way to win at Duane Banks. Irvine does not beat themselves. It's probably going to be a couple of low-scoring games. I'm down in Springfield, Missouri. I'm not sure what the weather's like up in Iowa City right now, but typically they're going to be low-scoring games. Irvine has guys that know how to pitch. They might not be throwing 95. They'll be upper 80s. They'll sink the ball. Irvine will play defense. They're going to bunt. So right, Iowa's going to have to play some really good baseball in order to win the series. But again, I keep saying that the Duane Banks magic that Rick has developed there. It's going to be a fun series, and hopefully a lot of people get out there and support it, because it could be a difference between Iowa making it as an at-large team or having to win that Big Ten tournament in Omaha, which, by the way, they'll have plenty of fans at.
Jack, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy the weekend. I'm sure you're going to be settled in when you're not worried about coaching, watching those Cubs and Cardinals games?
Without a doubt. And you know what? We're in a conference tournament right now, so we got delayed in our game. We're up 5-1, but we got to get going at 8:30 in the morning. So hopefully we get that win, and then we'll probably play tomorrow night later on. So hopefully I can see part of that the Cubs card. Appreciate it.
All right, Jack. Good luck. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom as he joins us for his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases. 5:52. We have for you right now a pair of tickets to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium Saturday, July 6th. The Colonel's on the road, so they're hosting a Hairball concert. Should be a great time, and you can go for free if you're caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. Hairball, keeping all of the great 80s rock and roll alive with an electric show. Tickets on sale now at colonels.com. Caller number 6. We got a pair just for you, 366-1600. Quick timeout. When we come back, I'll tell you what's in store for the 6 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll attempt to find out what's the most interesting minor sport in Eastern Iowa. Back with more after this.
At Trex, we know there's a place for wood in your backyard. We recommend the fire pit. But when it comes to choosing the right material for your next deck, look no further than the superior beauty and durability of the number one name in outdoor living. Trex Decking delivers the look of wood without all the work and the worry. So make sure your next deck is built with Trex.
Find Trex Decking at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander. Visit either location in Iowa City.
KGYM and Smart FM, a perfect combination. Like a perfectly turned double play, a perfectly timed pass, a perfect handoff, a perfect assist, a perfect drive, a perfect shot from beyond the three-point line, the perfect song for your celebration, the perfect band that brings back great memories. Perfect sports coverage on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Hi, I'm Katie Nolan, host of Sports with me, Katie Nolan. It's a weekly podcast where we talk about all the sports, kind of, and then other things.
I'm very anxious suddenly. Ew. Nobody cared or paid attention to our show, but you notice, like, people are paying attention in a way that's like, okay, all right. So now when I say something that normally I'm like, I didn't, like, mean it, and there's articles written about it, you're like, oh.
So tune in. You can listen and subscribe in the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. So you should do that.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
Time to replace your vehicle's battery? Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for the Do It Right rebate. For a limited time, purchase a Superstart Premium, Extreme, or Platinum battery and get up to a $15 O'Reilly gift card by mail. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Loaner Tool Program. It's simple. You choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right. The best part? It's all free. Our tools even come with operating instructions, so you'll know exactly how to use them. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Deposit required. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Wedding season is upon us, and the easiest way to look fresh for the big day is with theblacktux.com. The Black Tux has awesome suits and tuxedos that you rent online. With their free home try-on, you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. After ordering, it will arrive 14 days before your event. Stand out for the right reasons with the Black Tux. For $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com and enter code SPAIN. That's theblacktux.com, code SPAIN.
After a 6-1 homestand, Twins are back on the road for 6, beginning at Yankee Stadium on Friday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis, game 1 of 3 in the Bronx. It's Kyle Gibson for the Twins, James Paxton opposing for New York on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Congratulations to Scott in Cedar Rapids. If UNASH wanted to go to the concert, he could have just said something. I think it's a different Scott, one that's actually eligible to win the hairball tickets. But Scott in Cedar Rapids is going to be off to see hairball July 6th as hairball comes to Veterans Memorial Stadium, home of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Colonels in action tonight, by the way, taking on the Dayton Dragons, the Class A affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds, a Z102.9 Mug Club night. Our very own Kyle Mann will be there pouring beers. Get your mug when you come in, or bring your mug from previous Friday home games and pay the refill price right off the bat. The Colonels at home through the weekend, and then they hit the road heading out east to take on, among other teams, the South Bend Cubs. But you can still get your Midwest League Baseball fill at least Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in eastern Iowa. And I know there are a lot of people in Iowa City that are excited about this, but minor league baseball's coming to Duane Banks Field.
That's right.
The Quad Cities River Bandits, displaced by the Mississippi River flooding in Davenport, will take on the Lansing Lugnuts Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at Duane Banks Field. The Lugnuts, affiliated with the Toronto Blue Jays, are managed by former Cedar Rapids Colonel and one-time major prospect in the big leagues with the Angels, Dallas McPherson, who was a third baseman out of the Citadel who had some big-time home run power and ultimately his career never flourished. He had Dallas McPherson, Brandon Wood. The Angels had a number of those guys in the early to mid-2000s, but should be a fun time for folks in Iowa City who want to see some good minor league baseball. They're going to see some good college baseball tonight. First pitch is on the horizon at Duane Banks Field. UC Irvine and the Hawkeyes, and Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press-Citizen confirming what Rick Heller told us yesterday. We broke news yesterday with Rick Heller that Mitchell Bowe's Iowa baseball career may be over. He had 3 separate facial fractures he suffered in that collision with Zeb Adrian. Zeb Adrian in concussion protocol. He is expected to be cleared tomorrow to return to the Hawkeyes, according to Dargan's reporting. So we'll see how the weekend goes. This is, as Rick Heller said yesterday, this is their regional. They need to win 2 out of 3 against UC Irvine. We're going to talk Cardinals baseball with longtime Cardinals observer Rob Raines when the 6 o'clock hour continues after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Steve Lennox. Bucks and Celtics game 3 of their Eastern Conference semifinal series tonight in Boston. NBA countdown on ESPN Radio underway in 30 minutes. Game 3 also the first of 2 playoff games tonight on ESPN TV and the ESPN app. ESPN's Brian Windhorst on the Celtics game plan for game 3.
They didn't feel like they took advantage of mismatches. The Bucks changed their defense on them. They weren't ready for it. They kind of got outcoached in this one. Mike Budenholzer kind of outcoached Brad Stevens in game 2.
Series is tied 1-1. Celtics president of basketball operations Danny Ainge back home in the Boston area after suffering a heart attack Tuesday while he was in Milwaukee. Ainge not expected to be at Game 3 tonight. Game 2 tonight on ESPN will be the Nuggets and Trailblazers, their Game 3 in Portland. Sources telling ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and Ramona Shelburne that the Lakers have no plans to introduce new candidates into their coaching search process, and the team is moving towards making an offer to Ty Lue. Phoenix Suns have their new head coach and 76ers top assistant Monty Williams. Source telling ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski that the two sides agreeing on a 5-year deal. Baseball today at Wrigley.
Rizzo drives one in the air, deep right field, back toward the corner. It's got a chance! Gone! 3-run homer, Anthony Rizzo. Cubs lead 3-0.
And the Cubs go on for the 4-0 victory against St. Louis. They've won 5 in a row. Call on the Cubs radio network. Kyle Kendricks, all the way on a 4-hitter, needed just 81 pitches for his 4th career shutout.
The playoffs continue.
Game 3 of the Celtics and Bucks. Coverage begins tonight at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. Presented by Indeed. Welcome to Spain and Fitz on ESPN.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available now at Advance Auto Parts.
Hi, I'm Katie Nolan, host of Sports with me, Katie Nolan. It's a weekly podcast where we talk about all the sports, kind of, and then other things.
I'm very anxious suddenly. Ew. Nobody cared or paid attention to our show, but you notice, like, people are paying attention in a way that's like, okay, all right. So now when I say something that normally I'm like, I didn't, like, mean it, and there's articles written about it, you're like, oh.
So tune in. You can listen and subscribe in the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. So you should do that.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Is your check engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let our professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. We'll retrieve the codes, discuss possible solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today for our free check engine light help. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
6:03, welcome back in as we close the books on Drive Time. Again, a big thank you to Linder Tire and LinderTire.com for bringing you the 5 o'clock hour tonight. Check them out online. Special online-only savings available at LinderTire.com or visit them at one of their three locations in Iowa, Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. Friday's program in its entirety presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. My neighborhood, my bank. You can find them in Iowa City and Coralville, tworivers.bank, Two Rivers Bank and Trust member, FDIC. Coming up inside the 6 o'clock hour, what's Eastern Iowa's favorite minor sport? We'll get to that, but first, joining us on the phone line, longtime Cardinals beat writer Rob Raines, works for stlsportspage.com at the moment. You can read his work there, as I was just moments ago, reading the recap of today's 4-0 series opener at Wrigley Field. The Cardinals got Maddoxed today by Kyle Hendricks, which is sort of ironic because the last time they had an outing like this, it came against Greg Maddux. Welcome aboard, Rob.
Yeah, Mike Maddux was there to watch it, so that was even another added part of the story. Yeah, what a clinic Hendricks put on today. 81 pitches was all he needed to shut out the Cardinals.
Despite the loss today, Rob, what have you made of the start for this team through a month and 2 days?
Very good. Yeah, I mean, the last 2 days, obviously, lost you know, last night in Washington and then today. But you know, I think you're going to run into, you know, pitching performances like you saw today from Hendricks. But, you know, I think that very, you know, the start of the season really could not have been scripted any better for the Cardinals. But when you win, you know, 20 of your first 30 games, you get to 10 games over 500, you're playing, you know, winning two out of every three games. That's a pretty good clip. If you can keep that going for the rest of the season, I think you're going to be just fine. So, you know, the pitching has gotten better as we thought it would. You know, the offense, you know, in a lot of ways, I mean, you know, Goldschmidt hit 9 home runs, but he really hasn't done, you know, really Goldschmidt-like things yet, you know, I don't think. And Carpenter, you know, is obviously off to another slow start, just like it was last year. So you get those two guys, you know, kind of clicking at the top of the batting order, I think the offense is going to be even better.
Michael Wacha draws the start tomorrow for St. Louis in Game 2 of this series. So what do the Cardinals need to see from him?
They need to see a good, you know, a good effort. I mean, I don't think he necessarily has to have an innings limit or a pitch count or anything like that. But I just mean, they just go out there and throw the ball well, attack the hitters, and hope the offense can be better against Darvish than they were today against Hendricks. So, you know, as I say, it wasn't a whole lot. Like, it wasn't Jack Flaherty's fault that the Cardinals lost today. You know, he pitched fine. He gave up one mistake, the home run to Rizzo, and actually that was compounded by the fact that he walked the two guys in front of Rizzo. But I think part of that was there was some real kind of inconsistencies with the strike zone that was affecting. You know, Flaherty, I think he thought he had a couple of guys struck out that didn't get the calls on, and you know, that, and that's going to happen. You know, it's part of the game. But, you know, he normally, if he pitches the way he pitched today, you know, the Cardinals will take that and they'll have a, you know, decent chance to win. I think that's the same kind of thing that they're looking for from Walker tomorrow. Just keep him in the ballgame, pitch well, and give the offense a chance to do what it can do.
The start of the season for Paul DeJong leads the team in average and hits, but more importantly, the defense. Has that surprised you, the defensive aspect of his game, where he's become a really, really solid shortstop?
I think it really is a tribute to just the fact that he's settled down. You know, he's a very steady player. He's obviously a very heady player. And I think, you know, he really hadn't played a lot of shortstop until he actually got to the big leagues. I mean, he had bounced around, you know, pretty much through all the infield positions, second, short, and third, even did that in college. So I think the fact that he got established at one position and can work at it, I think Oquendo was a big help to him, with the time that they spent together, both, you know, last season and then, you know, in the off season and spring training and things like that. So I think he's just a very confident player, and he knows he can play well offensively, which has let him kind of, you know, think more about defense. And yeah, you're right. I mean, he's, you know, now, you know, you look at him and you expect him to make all the average plays, and he's even made some that were, you know, well above average. So, and I don't know that a lot of people really thought he was going to be able to develop into that good of a shortstop when the Cardinals put him out there.
Rob Raines with us on the program talking St. Louis Cardinals baseball. How about his double play partner at the moment, Colton Wong? He seems to have cooled off a little bit, but this is a positive step, seeing the early offensive production from Wong this year.
Yeah, I think it's just a tribute to the fact that he feels very comfortable, kind of like DeJong in a sense. He feels it's very comfortable with where he is and where his career is. You know, obviously, he has one advantage over Paul, is that Colton played for Mike Shildt in the minor leagues and was very, you know, kind of close to him coming up through the system. So I think that he's very comfortable having Mike as his manager, and Mike, you know, will let him just go out and do what he does well. And that's, you know, not necessarily try to hit home runs or you know, long balls or anything like that, but just play, you know, gold-glove caliber defense, get some hits, run, steal some bases, and get some bunt singles. Obviously, that key bunt hit he had the other night in Washington, you know, was a key play that he felt confident that he could pull off, and has the backing of the manager to do it. So I think that's just a tribute to the relationship between he and Mike Shildt and what they have had over the years since he, you know, played for him in Springfield.
One of the interesting storylines coming into the year is Marcell Ozuna is in a contract year, and there was a talk about his shoulder. We see the throwing arm in the outfield. It's not great. It seems like it's still bothering him, but he's starting to hit. What do you think the Cardinals are thinking right now, and what to do with Marcell Ozuna going forward?
I think they're thinking is to keep hitting. Don't stop. You know, but I think, you know, and that obviously is going to outweigh whatever deficiencies he has in the defense. You know, I mean, if he can hit, you know, 30 home runs and get close to 100 RBIs and have a close to 300 average, I think you'll overlook, you know, some of the loopholes that he has out in the outfield. So, I don't know if they're thinking anything. I think what they're probably thinking is play well enough that somebody else is going to want to give you a bigger contract than we're going to want to offer you for next year. I mean, they've got so many good young outfielders in the system coming up that I just don't know that, you know, long term that there's a spot for him. You know, you have a couple of years left with Fowler. You know, they signed Martinez to another, you know, 2-year contract. Bader obviously is under control for a while. And then you got, you know, O'Neill and some of the other kids coming up from the farm system. So I don't know that there's a spot for Ozuna going forward, especially for the money that he's going to want to bring in. Wouldn't surprise me if the Cardinals made him a qualifying offer, assuming that the rest of the season goes the way that it started for the first month. You know, and he ends up, you know, close to 30 homers and as I say, the 100 RBIs. I would think they could give him the qualifying offer and hope that somebody would top that and that he wouldn't take that. He's a Scott Boras client. And I think that, you know, they would be okay with him coming back for 1 year, even at the money's, you know, the qualifying offer. But I just don't see them being long-term fit just because of the guys they have coming up through the system.
Rob, you brought up Tyler O'Neill, optioned recently to AAA Memphis. What is the plan for him this season, or where does he fit into the picture? Is he a guy who's just going to ride that AAA shuttle all year long?
Yeah, I think he's got to go down there and find a way to hit. You know, I mean, he struck out 18 times out of 30-something at-bats, almost 50% of his at-bats in the big leagues have been strikeouts. And you kind of have to live with the strikeouts, and you know, that's just kind of the way the game has gone now. If you can live with the strikeouts, if a guy's hitting, you know, a lot of home runs, but he's only got the one home run, so he's just got to go down there and get consistency. I think he's suffered from one problem, which is the same problem that a lot of younger players have, and that's trying to adjust how to come off the bench. I mean, he's never been a part-time player. I mean, he's always been a kid, you know, that has played, you know, almost every day. And it's tough for those guys to make that adjustment. And some guys can do it better than others. And he, you know, did hit some home runs last year, but he also got a little more playing time last year because, you know, they had some other, you know, situations going on with Fowler, you know, not producing and things like that. So playing time is a lot harder to come by this year. And I think it's actually, you know, going to Memphis is probably the best thing for him to get down there and play on a regular basis and see if he can find his groove.
Speaking of a guy who's struggled to find his role in it coming out of the bullpen or adjust coming out of the bullpen, Alex Reyes, how concerning is what he's going through right now? He broke his finger in frustration the other night in Memphis. What are the Cardinals' plans for him?
Well, they're really glad it was his left hand and not his right
hand.
That's
true.
That he did it with. So he can still throw. He's going to go to Florida, probably be down there about 3 weeks because he can work in the extended spring training program and throw. He just has to be behind the screen because he can't catch. So he'll have to have somebody else, you know, there to help catch for him. But that's kind of a controlled environment, and they could do that. So his arm's going to be fine. I think their plan is that they have seen already that he's probably much better adapted to be a starter than a reliever. And he just is, you know, more comfortable in that role. Not to say that he is never will pitch in the relief again, but I think, you know, he did it so well when he came up to 16, but that was such a unique experience because it was his first time in the big leagues and things like that. But I think their plan is for him to develop as a starter. Now, maybe that will mean that he has to spend most of this season in AAA, and that's okay. I mean, he took, you know, almost two full years off from pitching, and that's a long time to overcome. And I know he wants to come back quickly and wants to be a part of the big league club and being, you know, successful, all that kind of stuff. But sometimes it just doesn't happen that quickly. And the one thing that he still has going for him, two things he still has going for him. Number one is his age. He's still young. He's still only 24. And secondly is, you know, obviously his arm is even younger than that because he basically didn't pitch for 2 years. And then third, he still has really, really good stuff. So, you know, that he has all those things going for him. And I think the Cardinals know that. And they're going to give him time to get right and just to be healthy and to get his confidence back and you know, still counting on him. I think maybe not counting on him as much as they might have been originally for this season, but I think he's definitely a big part of their plans for, you know, 2020 and beyond.
You can read Rob Raines' work at stlsportspage.com. Cardinals and Cubs continuing their series tomorrow at Wrigley Field. Carlos Martinez is about to head out on a rehab assignment. Looks like he's going to join the Peoria Chiefs here in the Midwest League this weekend. What's the plan with Martinez once he rejoins the big league team?
Be a short inning reliever at the back end of the bullpen. He'll fit right in with Hicks and Miller, and now Brebbia has kind of earned a spot out there at the back end of the bullpen as well. So, you know, they're relying on the fact that he pitched well in that role last year, after he had a couple of times he had the shoulder injuries. They just don't see him having the stability in that shoulder to be a starter for any significant period of time at this point. Now, that doesn't mean he won't ever get that back, but right now they think the best way for him to contribute to this ball club and the best role for him to stay healthy is as a short inning reliever, and so that's the role he's going to have. I don't think he's going to be the closer over Hicks. I think Hicks has got the closer job most nights. I mean, obviously you saw a night, you know, the other night in Washington where Miller had to come in and get the save in the ninth because Hicks wasn't available. So there's going to be nights like that Hicks isn't available, so you might see Martinez throwing the ninth. But I would say you'd probably more likely see him in the seventh and eighth if it's a game when Hicks is available.
We're starting to see Dakota Hudson settle into his role a little bit of a rough start, but has had some outings where he went a little deeper into games the last three times out.
He's going to be really good. He knows how to pitch. He's still a young guy that's still learning and obviously making an adapting to being a starter in the big leagues. But you don't get to advance to where he is as quickly as he did and would be the Texas League Pitcher of the Year and the Pacific Coast League Pitcher of the Year in back-to-back years without having, you know, a lot of talent. So I'm completely confident that he's going to figure it out and he's going to be good for a long time. I don't know that he's – I would probably still rank him a tick below Flaherty and Reyes in terms of overall talent and what your contributions are. But if he's your number three starter, you know, going forward for 2020 and beyond, I think that's a pretty good situation.
Who's the next player we see come up from the minor leagues to make an impact on this team at the big league level?
Well, you have to tell me where there's going to be an opening first. You know, I don't know right now that they have anybody that they're really, you know, going to look to replace. I mean, you know, the way Ozuna's played and the way, you know, Martinez has come up and played well and right and Bader's bounced back a little bit. And then you still got Fowler, who was playing well before he got sick. And you know, so I think that they've got, you know, four quality outfielders right now for those three spots that they can rotate in and out. And you know, I don't think any of the infielders are going anyplace. So you almost have to say it would be a pitcher. But I think that, you know, who would take that open? There's really no open spot. I mean, I think they kind of were grooming Reyes to be that guy to come up and next guy that they needed. But, you know, I don't know that that's going to happen right now. So, I mean, Jake Woodford's a guy that they're really high on. He's pitched really well in Memphis. I think he might be pitching tonight for them against Nashville. But, you know, he's really high on him. But, again, there's just got to be an opening for somebody to come up and fill a spot because right now I don't think they really have any.
It's interesting with the Tyler O'Neill move. He goes down, and it's to make room for Luke Gregerson. But you look at the back end of that bullpen, John Gant, John Brebbia, and Giovanni Gallegos playing big roles, just like we thought, right?
Yeah. Everything we figured out was going to happen back in March, right? Yeah, Gallegos has been a nice story. He's been a nice addition to the ball. And I think Gant, you know, obviously Gant pitched well in the spring. He just got beat out by Hudson for the fifth starter spot. So they thought they knew what they had in Hudson in Gant, and they really liked him. But I think he's done even better probably in that short inning relief role than they expected. So the bullpen's been a strength of this team. It really has. And I think they've got guys that are probably good enough to pitch at the big league level that just don't have a spot because the other guys up here are doing really well.
Rob, what are your thoughts on the rest of the National League Central right now? Through the first month of the season, things are playing out kind of the way that everybody expected them to. The Brewers, the Cubs, and the Cardinals all in the mix at this point.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be that way till the end of the season. I don't see anybody falling out of that group. You know, I mean, obviously nobody saw Yelich getting off to the start that he's had. You know, simply because, you know, that's, you know, superhuman kind of stuff. So he's kind of regressed the mean a little bit. But he's, you know, he's a great player. Cubs obviously got, you know, a lot of great players in Rizzo and Bryan and Baez. So, you know, none of these teams are going to go anywhere. They're all going to be, you know, in that race the whole season. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think, you know, I wouldn't surprise me at all if you see the division champion and then both wild card teams come out of this division.
Rob, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. We were going to try to have you on yesterday, but with the Nationals game running long, it didn't work out. So thank you for accommodating us on a Friday.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Rob Raines, again, you can read his work at stlsportspage.com, longtime St. Louis Cardinals observer and writer. And the Cardinals will turn to Michael Wacha, who has strong ties to the Eastern Iowa area tomorrow at Wrigley Field.
Michael Wacha against the Cubs. What could go wrong?
Looking to right the ship. I wasn't expecting Kyle Hendricks to have the day that he did today against the Cubs. 81 pitches. I mean, the first Maddox thrown against the St. Louis Cardinals since Greg Maddox. I believe it was 1995. Maddox at that point in time was a member of the Atlanta Braves organization. Very impressive outing today for Kyle Hendricks. Flaherty made one mistake, basically. He made a mistake to Anthony Rizzo, and Rizzo made him pay for it. So you're seeing Rizzo start to heat up at the plate. What's interesting to me about today is that, not to make light of the comments that were made during the offseason, but it was kind of a boring game today. Chris Bryant made the comment about St. Louis being boring, and Yadier Molina said this is going to carry over into the season, and I think a lot of people were thinking this is like a WWE.
How many games they play against each other?
They play a lot of games, but this is the first opportunity these guys have seen each other since the offseason. I thought maybe we'd be on high alert today for something, but
maybe
I guess
the Cardinals were groggy. They didn't get their morning cup of coffee.
I don't think Hendricks gave them much of an opportunity to get upset about anything today. Maybe if it's a little tighter battle tomorrow, we will wait and see. 319-366-1600. Twins underway, taking on the New York Yankees at Yankee Stadium. They are scoreless after half an inning. We will join up with that game, 107.5 FM, this evening in progress. Twins in the Bronx all weekend long, and the Cubs and the Cardinals are on KGYM all weekend long. ESPN's weekend coverage, both Saturday and Sunday. You can catch the Cubs and the Cardinals right here, and you can catch up on everything else we've got going on our schedule, including the 145th running of the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs in Louisville. We'll have that for you tomorrow on two of our three frequencies. Game winner is still the favorite, although the favorite, Bellafina in the Kentucky Oaks today, wound up placing fourth.
Improbable. So, improbable.
Alex says improbable. I'm riding game winner. When it comes to the horses, I like to play the favorites. There isn't a ton of...
It's been 6 years in a row investment that the favorite has won the Kentucky Derby.
There isn't a ton of investment opportunity, if you know what I'm talking about, in playing the favorites. You have to invest heavily to win money, but...
Let's win some money.
Let's win some money, as the late, great Jay Cronley would say. And as a matter of fact, that was the tail end of my ill-fated exacta today in the Kentucky Oaks. because behind Bella Fina, there was a horse named Jaywalkin'. And Jaywalker, I think, is the name of the filly today. And I said, tip of the cap to the late, great Jay Cronley. Let's make some money. We did not make any money today. We most likely will not make any money tomorrow. But we will have the 145th running of the Kentucky Derby for you. And we've got great prizes coming up next week. We're going to kick off an annual staple here on KGYM, Race to Win. Got a ton of great prizes for you. You just match up the spots on our virtual game board. And if you can pull that off, you're going to win great things like tickets to the Indianapolis 500. Details available for you on our website. Again, KGYMradio.com. While you're there, vote in our poll question today, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. It has to do with what Isaiah Moss's transfer means for the Iowa basketball program. Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. 6:22, we'll take a quick timeout. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Fridays is being presented to you by Two Rivers Bank and Trust, my neighborhood, my bank. You can find them in Iowa City and Coralville or online at tworivers.bank. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. When we return, our producer Kyle Mann rejoins us in the studio. He'll give you an Alexander Lumber Big Board update, and we'll get his thoughts on Isaiah Moss's departure and what it means for the Hawkeye program. 366-1600, back with more after this.
A mother used to wear a crisply pressed dress, ride along on Sunday drives with the family, and serve meat and potatoes on the everyday china. Now a mother lives in leggings, hauls kids around in the SUV, and serves quick, healthy meals on family-friendly plates. Yes, moms have changed a lot over the years, but Hertine and Stocker Jewelers still knows how to make them happy on Mother's Day. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been offering lovely gifts and helpful suggestions to children, and sometimes dads, to make Mother's Day especially special. This Mother's Day, come to Hertine and Stocker and choose beautiful colored stone jewelry, spectacular diamond earrings, radiant pearls, or some other gift that mom will treasure. Stop and see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
This is an ad about Twins tickets. This is an ad about Twins tickets.
This is an ad about Twins tickets.
Here's where we talk about Twins tickets.
Get Twins season tickets today. With flexible plans, there's a package to fit your budget and schedule. Get the best seats at the best prices, plus 10% off food and drinks and other exclusive benefits.
That was an ad about Twins tickets. That was an ad about Twins tickets. That was an ad about Twins tickets. Here's some music.
Buy tickets at twinsbaseball.com.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota M-Series tractors. The Kubota M-Series are designed to provide farmers with a fuel-efficient, high-performing, and versatile tractor with excellent visibility, spacious, dependable, and up to 168 horsepower. The Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to tackle any job.
To experience the power of Kubota, visit CycloneKubotaDealers.com for a participating dealer near you.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
The Cubs and Cardinals. The next chapter in the rivalry begins this weekend.
Coverage begins at 2:30 on Saturday and Sunday at 5 here on the gym. KGYM.
6:26, we welcome you back in for the final stages of a Friday edition of the program. Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn joined in the studio by our producer, Kyle Mann. He's getting ready to bring you a Big Board update. Big Board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you by Alexander Lumber. And keep Alexander Lumber in mind if you're looking at upgrading or changing the look of your windows in your home. The Answers by Alexander showroom is available for your perusal on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, not too far away from the Alexander Lumber temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa baseball team's worked its way onto the postseason bubble coming down the home stretch, but for now I'm talking about really on the bubble, which is why the three-game series that begins tonight hosting UC Irvine is so crucial. Irvine comes in as a top 25 team and the last real chance for Iowa to improve its resume for an at-large bid, and so far things are going pretty well. Iowa leads already 1-0 after the first inning. The Minnesota Vikings released a very user-friendly minicamp roster earlier today, and it revealed that Kyle Gronewig's getting a shot up there, as well as UNI's Carter Schult, Ricky Neal, and Bryce Douglas. A few other former Panthers have opportunities lined up, such as Eli Dunn with the Falcons, Elias Nissen with the Bears, and Austin Eartham with the Chiefs. Greg Steven, the disgraced former coach and director involved with the Iowa Barnstormers AAU program, was sentenced to 180 years in prison for his crimes against over 400 boys over a 20-year span. The Colonels dropped the rubber match with Bowling Green last night, 2-0, but it's a Z102.9 Mug Club tonight as they host Dayton. I'm going to be there after the show, but first pitch has already been made. Well, actually, it's going to be made here in just a few minutes, so that game getting ready to get started. And tonight after the show, we're going to have the Celtics and Bucks on the South and Main gyms. We're also going to be joining the Twins and Yankees in progress on 107.5 FM, the North gym. And then tomorrow, we'll have game two of the Cubs and Cardinals on the Main gym and the Kentucky Derby on the FMs. And on Sunday night, we'll have game three on all three.
Kyle, what do you think Isaiah Moss leaving the Iowa basketball program means for the Hawkeyes?
It's not good. I honestly have been a little bit surprised at the, you know, we heard it with Tyler Cook where, oh, addition by subtraction. I didn't buy it then, and I don't buy it now. And almost, I don't know, in certain ways, I don't think Iowa's better without Tyler Cook, you know, so don't confuse my words. But I think there is something to the argument that people made where Tyler Cook maybe doesn't fit the system as well as certain other players could. I think that that is less true for Isaiah Moss. I think Isaiah Moss leaving is more damaging to the system that Iowa needs to run because you look at the roster they have right now, it's a lot of relying on Jordan Bohannon to make shots from the outside. We saw a little bit of Joe Wieskamp as the driver, penetrator, but you know, let's say Wieskamp is in foul trouble or just having an off night. Jordan Bohannon's being guarded by somebody over 6 foot two. Who do the Hawkeyes look to say, get me a shot, go get a shot up? I've been surprised at the confidence in C.J. Frederick and Joe Toussaint already. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, they both look like decent prospects, but, you know, Toussaint is 6 feet tall. C.J. Frederick, you know, Mr. Basketball in the state of Kentucky, didn't hold an in-state offer. So I think the Isaiah Moss departure is a lot more concerning than it's been led on by some.
It's interesting to me that people are putting a lot of eggs into the recruiting basket,
right?
Because the 2015 recruiting class that we've been talking about, it's proof positive that recruiting doesn't always work out. Not everybody winds up meeting their potential and being the superstar that folks expect them to. So it's really, we don't know what we're going to get in Patrick McCaffrey. I've got a good idea that he's going to be a decent player, and Joe Toussaint I'm unfamiliar with, but I've spoken with people who have actually seen him play in person, and they feel he's going to bring quite a bit on both sides of the floor to the Iowa basketball team, but you just don't know. And I go back to the point, it would be nice at some point in the upcoming season to have that depth and veteran leadership, and I have a feeling people are going to realize that at some juncture in the upcoming basketball season that, yeah, it would have been nice to have a piece like Isaiah Moss on the current roster.
Yeah, it certainly would have been nice to have their starting two or three. It would have been nice to have their starting four and Tyler Cook, and I see what you're saying, Kyle, with Tyler Cook, where he could take over a game at times, and then there would be times where it's felt like the ball was sort of getting stuck, and his time down where he would miss layups or turn the ball over, it just felt like an empty possession. But with Isaiah Moss, you never got that feeling that he was hogging the ball. You had that feeling that he could go off, or he was going to have a night where he scored two or three maybe 4 points. So there were definitely those highs and lows. But with the recruiting angle, when Joe Wieskamp came in last year, I thought this is the best high school basketball player I've seen in the area. There was no doubt in my mind that he was going to make an impact. I don't think any of the guys that are being discussed, whether it's Joe Toussaint, CJ Frederick, or Patrick McCaffrey, can possibly be counted on to make anywhere near the impact that Joe Wieskamp made in his freshman season. And that was 11 points per game. And we're talking about Isaiah Moss, who averaged just over 9 points per game. So if you're doing the math there and you're thinking about that, and you're counting on those guys to step in, that's a very dangerous proposition for a program like Iowa.
And again, I don't think you can talk too much about this 2015 recruiting class, that there were six guys in that class, and not a single one of them is going to be here at the end run. And that includes Dale Jones, who was a junior college transfer who had 3 years to play and wound up going through a senior night festivity a year early, and then wound up being the number two scorer his final season of eligibility at North Dakota. Am I crazy for thinking that that's a story?
For thinking that an entire recruiting class isn't there as a transfer before their senior year?
There's definitely it definitely indicates a problem, because you're either not recruiting good enough players that they're going to stick, or that they're going to get enough minutes, or, you know, there's something wrong where guys just don't want to stick on your campus. There's definitely a problem if your entire six-member class isn't making it to their senior season.
And you would think that those types of players are the ones that you want to have around their senior seasons, where you're building toward. That's the goal of this program. That's what it's not like Kentucky or Duke, where, yeah, none of those guys made it to their senior seasons because they were all gone after their freshman season. That's not what this is. This isn't even a case of a program like Michigan State, where some of them leave after 2 or 3 years and go to the NBA. This was a flat out situation where guys were either not good enough to play in the Big Ten, or for whatever reason didn't want to stay in Iowa City.
I'm being criticized for saying that Iowa's 2015 recruiting class was a giant swing and a miss, that Iowa went 0-for. And I'm being criticized by somebody that I work with for saying that. And I'm sitting here festering about it. Look, Isaiah Moss, I guess you get credit for Isaiah Moss. I think he's a great player for what he brought to the team. But he didn't make it to the end run.
And you want him on your team as a senior.
He wound up being the best player out of that recruiting class. If you have six scholarships and the best player out of those six makes it three seasons and then leaves before his final season of eligibility, yeah, I got to call that what it is, a swing and a miss, and a pretty eye-opening. Again, when you look at this, this is in the middle of the Fran McCaffrey tenure. It's something that most programs wouldn't be able to survive. This is more than just a run of turbulence on an airplane flight. But Iowa managed to come out the other side, which I think is pretty impressive. See, you can be critical and complimentary at the same time. You can have an opinion, and it's not the end of the world. But to sit there and say it's no big deal. Okay, I'm not going to do this. I literally am not going to do it. I'm not going to sit here and get worked up. And does it sound like I'm getting worked up, doesn't it? It does sound like I'm sitting here and getting worked up at 6:36 on a Friday. And the thing is, all I want to do, I want to go home tonight. I want to pour myself a nice glass of bourbon. I want to relax after busting my ass here all week long at the station. And I can't do it now, because I know what's going to happen if I get into it. If I get into the bourbon, bad things are going to happen, because I can't control my thumbs when I get into the bourbon.
The bourbon makes the thumbs fly?
Unfortunately. 366-1600.
I can bring you my Xbox. The 13, use your thumbs on something else.
I've got
else.
The PS3. Okay. I'm going to go home tonight and try to talk myself out of game winner tomorrow in the Derby. And this always happens. You lock in on a horse, and then I start getting too much information. I start looking in too many places for other people's thoughts.
Yeah, that's kind of the spiral that people run into during draft time too, right?
Exactly. So it's game winner or bust for me tomorrow in the 145th running of the Kentucky Derby. Churchill Downs, pour yourself a mint julep and stay off Twitter this weekend, because nothing good happens when Twitter and alcohol mix. 366-1600. If you really want to booze it up, boozed up with Kyle. He's going to hang out at Veterans Memorial Stadium tonight for a Z102.9 Mug Club night.
Anybody can talk Game of Thrones with you, right?
Yeah, even they don't even have to ask, even.
Just as he's pouring beer.
Just come up and start talking Game of Thrones to Kyle.
I want you handling those beer mugs the way that the knives were handled in last week's episode. Just start flinging the beer mugs around, right hand over to the left hand. Catch those beer drinkers off guard tonight. 6:37 as we make our way toward the final segment of the program tonight. Again, a reminder, Friday's programming here, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You can find Two Rivers in Iowa City and Coralville. My neighborhood, my bank. Learn more online at tworivers.bank. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. When we return, we'll wrap up another work week here at KGYM. We'll tell you what's in store coming up on Monday's edition of local programming, which kicks off at 3 o'clock with Scott Unesh and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. Back with more after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Before the start of the game, or once the game is over, the soundtrack for your celebration is Smart Rock on Smart FM. KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect combination for a great summer of top-of-the-line sports coverage. And Smart Rock is the perfect complement for all the action on and off the field. Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-510-7517. That's 800-510-7517. Call now. 800-510-7517.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Loaner Tool Program. It's simple. You choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right. The best part? It's all free. Our tools even come with operating instructions so you'll know exactly how to use them. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Deposit required. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
After dropping game one, Giannis and the Bucks bounce back. Now the series shifts to Boston for a pivotal Game 3.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here on The Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
641, welcome back in. We got about 12 minutes to go before we take you on into the weekend. As a matter of fact, my phone knows me so well at this point because it just popped up, 640, giving me the traffic information on the way home. Good luck. Good news for me, no delays.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I can't imagine
the phone,
that you get too many delays.
Phone, you'd be very surprised when the Crandic tracks stand between and your home.
Forgot about that.
Especially when they go forward and they back up and they go forward and they back up and they go forward.
I've run into them a couple of times.
It's like a game of Russian roulette, and it usually never ends well for the folks who are parked on Wilson Avenue waiting to get across the tracks, especially shortly after 7 o'clock. It seems almost like clockwork. 319-366-1600. I think it was a solid show today. I almost got derailed there and put myself in a position where I could have gotten myself into a lot of trouble, and maybe I am in a position where I'm going to get myself in a lot of trouble. I don't know. But I'm tired. I'm tired of all of this. Just living life under the microscope and worrying about what everybody else thinks about. You want me to sit here for 3 hours and not have an opinion on anything? I'll sit here and read the newspaper for 3 hours. I mean, I can do that. I don't want to. I want to sit here. I want to have an opinion. I want to engage the listeners. And I want to do a great show. Today was a good show. Rob Raines, stopping by, longtime Cardinals observer. You know him from your St. Louis days. Where was he?
He was at Fox Sports.
He's been around.
Midwest.
He's been at Fox Sports Midwest, another organization that has chopped itself down to nothing.
Pretty much, yes.
God, the media landscape. I went home. I was so depressed last night. I saw the report that the Times-Picayune was purchased in New Orleans by another media company. And I love the New Orleans Times-Picayune. It was a great newspaper. And they're basically getting rid of all of the employees at the Times-Picayune. And some of them will be lucky enough to apply for their jobs at the new media corporation. And it just got me thinking about 10, 15, 20 years ago and my career trajectory and how quickly things can change. Because about 10 years ago, I specifically said there was one thing I was never going to do in my life. And guess what I'm doing right now?
Was it radio by
chance?
It
was sports talk radio. I specifically remember this. I was sitting on my couch in North Liberty like 10, 11 years ago, and it was something, Jim Rome or something on the radio, and I was like, my God, I can't believe that anybody would stoop to that level where they would have to do that to make money. And then there was this boom in sports talk radio, and it wound up being one of the few, at least for the moment, safe harbors where you can still sort of have a career and sort of feel safe. And something will come along and change the game. I'm sure we're dealing with that with podcasts and things of that nature, but there's still at least hope for radio. Maybe not this particular radio host, but there's hope for the rest of you out there. Alex, Kyle, keep working hard. Don't ever let anybody tell you what you can and can't have an opinion on.
Todd, no one will ever.
And get out of here. Go to something bigger. Be Tyler. Tyler's living life, man. Covering the NFL
really
draft.
I was jealous when I saw him in Nashville last week because there are two things that I love more than most things. That would be the NFL draft in Nashville.
Losing weight and drinking mint juleps at the Kentucky Derby and
smoking cigars.
Don't do it. Don't do it. 319-366. Whatever I say right now can't be anything worse than Tim Legler said on the Stephen A. Smith show the other day.
I missed that.
There was a phone issue, and
Legler
was on speakerphone, and there was a word that was uttered that you were not really supposed to say. And
was this after he sort of disconnected from
Yeah.
The best
part was he's yelling at his wife. He's yelling at his wife about how old the phone was. 15, 16 years old. My Derby pick, I think I'm on board with game winner. One of the odds-on favorites, the new odds-on favorite, after the news earlier in the week that Omaha Beach was scratched. There was a second scratch today. So it's now going to be a 19-horse field tomorrow at Churchill Downs. 366-1600. I wanted to do this topic today about what your favorite minor sport is. And I realize now if I do that, it's going to come off as if I'm trolling, and it's going to get me into even more trouble and more hot water than I probably am right now, either with myself or with somebody else. So I don't want to go there, but boxing and horse racing are sort of it for me. They're 1A and 1B. I like both sports, although boxing just doesn't really do it for me anymore. I don't want to come off as old man yelling at a cloud, but the sport has diminished greatly since I was a kid.
You mean people don't want to box anymore?
It's not necessarily that. I think it's the quality of the fighting and the promotion. Boxing used to be a big deal, and now it's not. I grew up in the Quad Cities area, and Michael Nunn for a number of years was one of the contenders for one of the very... Boxing's problem is there's like 40 belts, or was at one point in time, and
there are no good heavyweights
exactly
anymore.
And there are no great heavyweights anymore. But when I was a kid 25 years ago, boxing was still a relatively big deal. You had Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. Horse racing up until a couple years ago, and Tyler, I gave credit to earlier today for sort of getting me back into horse racing. But then you have a Triple Crown winner. And you have a Triple
That's
Crown
true.
Winner, and all of a sudden, you're no longer sitting around talking about how something hasn't happened for 20, 30, 40 years. And then it's like, okay, well, that was fun.
Yeah, it's Derby now weekend. What? That's cool, but we're not looking forward to that Triple Crown winner anymore.
And whatever horse wins tomorrow, then we'll have build up to the second leg of the Triple Crown. And if that horse doesn't win the second leg, then no one cares about the Belmont. I don't know. I still like horse racing. Nothing beats a night at the track or a day at the track. The beer is usually cheap. They want to get you lubed up a little bit so that you can start throwing down those $1 exactas or $1 trifecta tickets. And I'm going to give you $20 here and box every single horse in a 9 or 10 horse field. Can't win any money doing it, but it's fun. You want to guarantee, you can guarantee yourself a win at the racetrack. You're not going to make any money, but some people like to go and just feel the rush of winning. It's no different than scratching off a lottery ticket and getting your money back. Hey, I won a dollar. Well, the ticket cost you a dollar. Yes, but I didn't lose the dollar.
Speaking of gambling in the state of Iowa.
No progress.
What's the date again? It's
as I understand it, it's May 27th would be the...
We're going to find out on May 27th. Don't expect anything to happen before then.
I think it will be handled before then, but May 27th, if it's 30 days after the legislature closes up shop for the season, for the session, 30 days beyond, if the governor hasn't signed it, then that's referred to in political circles as a pocket veto, which is the same thing as the governor coming out and saying they don't want to sign something or vetoing it, but sort of taking the easy way out by just saying, I'm just going to let this piece of paper sit here and not sign it. Look, the train has left the station. You've got these partners, William Hill at Prairie Meadows, and Points Bet, I believe, is the partner with the Catfish Bend in Burlington. They were the second casino to hop on board. So I refuse to believe that you would get this far without feeling that this is going to become the law of the land, at least between the Missouri and the Mississippi. And that, I think, will maybe spur some interest, some more interest in the Kentucky Derby and things of that nature. But I just feel like you're watching a dying sport tomorrow when you watch the Kentucky Derby on
NBC. Feel like it's always going
to
have that niche, though, regardless, where it's like, okay, the Kentucky Derby's on. Maybe you're not going to get the ratings that we got a couple years ago when we saw a Triple Crown, but people kind of use it as an excuse to dress up nicely and drink mint juleps.
The problem with the Kentucky Derby is it's a lot like the Super Bowl in that there's this tremendous buildup to it. Like the Super Bowl has a 9-hour pregame show, right? Except once the Super Bowl starts, you get 3 hours of football after it. The Derby is this tremendous run-up to it, and then it's over in 2 minutes. And there's not, I mean, that's it. They run the race.
Well, that was fun.
And you either win or you don't win, or you didn't have any money on it and you were just watching it to be entertained. And unless you've got money on it, how entertaining is it watching very small human beings, men and women, riding around on these beautiful animals? And then you bring in the animal rights people and everything. And just, I don't know. I feel like, you know, horse racing is on borrowed time.
The animal rights people?
Yeah, and they don't like it.
They don't like the...
They don't like anything. They probably don't like this show. I guess that would make humans, them like a lot of other people that I know.
Humans are trained to be athletes, but when you do it to a horse, it's somehow immoral. I've been around trainers. It's not like these horses are living horrible lives. I've seen...
You should read Mike...
Behind the scenes.
Read Mike Halas's piece he's got available at thegazette.com. About what happens to these horses after their careers are over. It's really enlightening stuff. I love Mike. Mike's a good friend of mine and a guy that I may or may not have spent a couple days with over the course of a career at the track in Tampa and Orlando.
Did you make some money?
I did make some money. The last time I was at the track, I made some good money in Tampa at the Outback Bowl. 366-1600. It's probably the last time I'm ever going to win anything in my life. I feel like that often. If you missed anything from today's show, you can download the podcast at KGYMradio.com now. A big thank you to Two Rivers Bank and Trust, our presenting sponsor for Friday's programs here with the Todd Brommelkamp Show and Alex Kuhn. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Wedding season is upon us, and the easiest way to look fresh for the big day is with the Black Tux.